Today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo. Michael Mara.
Who are you guys with? NBC? CBS?
Radio God.
You gave us jobs with security, show business.
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show today.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
How about this show?
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington's Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right. Well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Participate in a Don and Mike Show contest. How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. Any contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Mighty WJFK. P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret sound. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron Lake, the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Where are you speaking to us from?
From the bathtub.
Okay, well, get out of
He's in the bathtub.
What are you doing?
I don't want to talk to a naked guy.
What are you doing in the bathtub?
I'm having a soak.
Splash for us.
Oh, my God.
He's naked.
There's a naked man on the telephone.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm asking.
Oh, I bet you are.
The Don and Mike Show.
I have a message for all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer. Okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Oh, boy, you.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. Or you don't know good fellow book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, it's been a good long time. And I've missed you, but the person I've missed the most was actually with me every day of the trip.
Good for you.
For I read his biography every day. It's a book you may have read called The Bible.
Oh, that's a good book.
The Bible, a.k.a. the life story of Bill Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
There you go.
You know, for a split second, Phil thought his favorite movie won Best Picture.
What's Phil's favorite movie?
He was confused, though. He voted for the Vivid video, Glad He Ate Her. It's not the same. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. How about a pie in your face, Senor Stossel, and all the ships at sea? Hey, perhaps you saw them in College Park with their kindling and Zippo lighters. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Damn, paraffin.
I was the one that got the sofa.
And, the good news is, this ain't a rerun you're hearing. This
right.
is brand new.
Hallelujah.
That's right, we're here.
Hallelujah.
We're in control now.
Hallelujah.
Gentlemen.
Hallelujah.
And all you people who bitch about our Johnny Carson-like vacations,
Hallelujah.
Stop your bitching. Because we're here nonstop for the next 3 friggin' months.
Yeah. Really?
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah.
3 months
starts today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Well, it is great to be back.
Hi.
Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. It's a new episode of the Don and Mike Show on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
April 3rd.
Yay.
And it is grand to be back.
Grand. Lovely.
It's grand.
Lovely and grand.
Had a great vacation, but as always, you know, 3 or 4 days into the vacation, I start to get sick of being on vacation, even though it's what I look forward to all the time.
That is always where we part company. That's always, you know, it's always not enough. It's always, you know, I could do 6 months standing on my head pretty easily.
Nah, it's like 3 or 4 days, I'm ready to come back, wow. And then we come back, and we had the extra day yesterday, so I was really like, an animal in the cage yesterday, waiting to be sprung.
Yeah, waiting to come in.
Waiting to come back. Then I get here, and I wonder, what is it I was waiting? This is what I was waiting for right now, to be with you guys.
Yeah, this moment, and as usual, you know, we've explained this year after year, there's the initial euphoria of being back here when we're all glad to see each other, and then usually, sometimes it's been as short as 8 minutes, and it's been as long as 45, but it's never exceeded that.
Yeah.
And within 45 minutes, we will be back to our usual crusty selves.
But for now...
Yeah, tonight, now it's great.
We're very happy. You know, as a matter of fact, if you could bottle this right now, well, our ratings would probably go right down the crapper, but this is probably the happiest that you're going to hear us.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. I mean, these moments, when we come, that's what vacations are for.
Right.
But for some people, people go on vacation and come back, and their batteries are recharged for a good month and a half. For us, it's good for 15 minutes of the show.
Maybe the first break.
Right, exactly.
You know, for all of my talking about, I was ready to come back after 3 days. I'll probably be ready for vacation before 4 o'clock tonight.
I expect.
But for now, it is great to be back. Well, and, you know, mainly it's because I don't see any of you schmucks for the whole time that we're gone.
And I think that our circle here, we, you know, both on air and off air, we have little relatables that we can share with each other and no one else, really.
That's true.
You know, that's the way it is with you and me.
All of our private jokes.
Absolutely. And it's good to be back.
Yeah, so listen, hello, we're here, and we're happy. Let's see,
you can take a phone call?
Yeah, well.
All right.
Why not?
Okay.
What the H-E double toothpicks? You know, I mean, it's what we do. I got plenty of vacation stuff to tell you, and I'm sure
you do, too.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back, Don and Mike.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, I just wanted to bust a little balls right now since you guys are back from vacation.
Welcome.
Mike's hair only has 150 days left till baseball season.
You're right about that.
You know what? It could be sooner than that because...
I came in today saying, where are the Clippers?
On the day that the Red Sox are mathematically eliminated from the playoff race...
Which, based on their performance in spring training and so far, could be May 3rd.
Yeah. The first day that they're mathematically eliminated will be the first day that Mike is eligible to have his head shaved.
So keep combing your hair, Mike.
Do you think it's early for me to say F. Manny Ramirez?
No.
F. Fat Manny Ramirez. $140 million Manny Ramirez. And his bed... Hamstring. I hate hamstring.
How many games have they played?
They played one.
One.
Yes.
You think you're overreacting a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's what I do. You know, that's what I do. And it just irritates me that they've got all this money not playing. It's driving me nuts.
Well, they'll get some wins when they come to Kansas City.
I couldn't help but notice that the Yankees won yesterday. The
Yankees won 7-3.
Yeah.
Yankees won. You know what the Yankees did on opening day for their fans? The Yankees did this. They gave their fans one of these just completely relaxing, don't they look great? Hey, baseball's begun again.
Clemens broke the record.
Yeah, he went into this like new strikeout realm. And the Red Sox fans did what they usually do. They put the greatest pitcher in the game on the mound, and then they do dick for him for 9 innings. And it's exactly like it was last year. Nothing's changed. I want take it back, Don. I want to take it back.
Too late, Mike.
I know.
Too late.
I know. I was thinking about that, because I went to, I went to see him on vacation. I went to a spring training game.
Training.
Yeah, I went to see him down in Fort Myers, Florida, and where we're on, incidentally, on a, just a flamethrower, a signal that was actually brushing my hair back when I listened to 1240 AM in Fort Myers. I was just saying,
actually, we do have some new stations coming on board.
Good.
I can tell you, you know, I don't know what the point is of having a meeting where they tell me stations and markets that we're going to be on, but then they say you can't announce it. I say, well, why tell me if I can't announce it?
They haven't learned that yet.
Yeah. So the one that they said I could announce was that next Monday we'll be back on the radio in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's fantastic.
On KSFN.
That's good. Is it an FM station?
Of course not. Of course not.
Okay. Because, you know, I did get a little, just a real taste of the power of AM radio on my vacation. It's great to be on these AM sticks.
The station in Vegas is KSFN. And when they first said it to me, I thought, oh, great. KSFM.
Right.
That's great. I said, I think that's the station in Sacramento. They said, no, there is a station in Sacramento, KSFM. You're on KSFN.
N. N is in Nancy.
Right. So anyway, that's the news there. Also, if you are listening to, speaking of Las Vegas, we have Las Vegas-style shows coming on Friday, the 27th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Buzz, you'll want to write this down.
I am.
Doesn't anybody ever tell Buzz this crap?
No. No. All right, we have to assign someone a job, a specific job for telling Buzz.
Well, now, wait a minute. Hold on. But Buzz, I know we specifically told you before vacation when the vacation started and when the vacation ended.
Not exactly.
No. I had Rob write it down for you.
Really?
Yeah, and I know that I said on the air that we'd be back on Tuesday, April the 3rd. And I only mention this because I know that when you were doing an appearance with Rob last Friday night, you announced that we would be back tomorrow.
I was kidding about that. No, actually, I found out when we were coming. I was ready to come back on Monday, but I found out the day that we were leaving for vacation, that's when I found out that we were really coming back on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
Instead of Wednesday, which I had never heard about.
Okay. So your appearance, you were just goofing when you said... See what I?
Yeah, I was. I was just kidding. See, and before that, I said I was coming back on Monday.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen. Write this down, Buzz.
Had to be there.
Here you go. Friday the 27th
of this month.
Yes, of this month.
That's a change.
That's not a change.
That's an in-house change.
That is not
by a week. By a week.
Friday the 27th will be in Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
Doing a live Las Vegas style show.
Look at this pen.
At a venue to be.
Jesus Christ.
Here, Mike. I tell you, Sharpies are the way to go.
Okay.
At a venue to be announced.
At a venue to be announced.
Oh, no. I know what the place is. I just
can't say it.
I don't have it written down. It's a place like Meriwether Post Pavilion. It's an outdoor concert venue that holds 17,000 people.
Outdoors?
Outdoors. It was that or the high school football field.
Okay.
Oh, man. And then Saturday, the following night, the 28th,
right,
we will be making our return to Reno.
Fantastic.
Now there, I don't know where we're going to be yet.
Good.
I really don't know yet.
Then it's done then.
I don't know.
All right.
But I know that we're going on the 27th and the 28th. And I think that TV's Leah Remini might be coming with us for one or both parts of this trip.
Wonderful.
And also, who's that, the fat little guy from the show?
Patton.
Oswald. Yes,
Patton Oswalt.
I think he's coming out, too.
I saw him at a Friars Club roast for Jerry Stiller, which I watched over the vacation, yeah.
That is way old, that Friars Club roast.
Yeah, I know, but they had two back-to-back. They had one for Jerry Stiller and one that sucked for Rob Reiner. Except when some guy made a Penny Marshall joke.
That was funny. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hi. Hello, Don and Mike?
Yeah, hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you, my friend.
Did you guys have an opportunity to catch The Sopranos this week?
Yeah, of course.
That was the best episode so far. I don't know what I like better, either a medal in the bra or the newspaper up the black lady's butt.
Yeah, listen, I would have liked to have seen Meadows' teats, to be honest with you. God knows they showed every other possible set of teats on the world.
There was plenty of nudity in that episode.
During that episode, but they sure could have gone with Meadow.
Yes, please.
And hey, how about that Joey Pants, Ralphie?
Ralphie, bad boy.
That's a nice guy.
Boy, that's a hothead.
We didn't get to see
three episodes before they whack him.
We did get to see plenty of Meadows' thick arms.
I think Meadow is
Meadow doable. Looks better. He's Meadow fine. Looks a lot better.
Meadow is definitely
very healthy.
She's doable.
I don't think she's as fat as she was, Rob.
I don't know. I think she looked thicker in this episode.
When she took her jacket off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was saying to my mother, I said, she really looks great. And I swear to God, I told my 81-year-old mother that I'm going to watch this, that you've got to watch. She doesn't get HBO, so I said, you have to watch this show. It's one of the best written shows on television. So the first episode she shows is like the Vivid TV porno version of The Sopranos, where it was absolutely all nudity from the very, very beginning right through to the end.
Oh,
and I was sitting there,
forget,
I was squirming.
Not only nudity, but you had Ralphie.
Yep.
Kicking to death his pregnant prostitute girlfriend.
You had the aforementioned newspaper up the butt, and I'm sitting there, you know, and I didn't want to turn it off. I didn't want to insult my mom and turn the thing off, and she's like,
you know, it's not like I haven't seen these type of movies before. I know that these are, it's a crime movie. It's about the mafia, and I'm sitting there going, please don't go back to Bada Bing. Please don't go back to Bada Bing.
But they did.
How did your mom react to the scene where Ralph was doing the girl up the butt while the girl was giving oral to the police?
I think she may have looked away because when that particular scene where Ralphie's like taking her from behind and she is servicing the police officer,
right,
that's when I went, oh God. And I looked over and she was just sitting there going with her eyebrows raised. And it's just like, you know, was that not, that was the, most sex-filled episode.
Fantastic episode.
You know, normally I'd agree with you. I would say it was one of the most... Yeah, but I was just sitting there completely freaked out because normally with The Sopranos...
You watched it with your mommy.
I did watch it with my mommy. Normally you'll have one episode, you'll have one real gratuitously violent scene during the entire show, and you'll have one... sex scene, maybe, but sometimes you go three episodes without that. That one was like, and especially,
wow.
And the culmination was Ralph. You know, evil Ralphie, Joey Pants, who's the next Richie Aprile. He's the next one who's going to get whacked.
I bet he makes it through the year.
Yeah, I think he might too, because he's with another crew.
You got to have...
Tony can't whack him.
You got to have one guy... This is what I said to Freedom when we were watching The Sopranos. She said, oh, I hate that guy. I hate that guy Ralphie. I said... But you got to have one guy on The Sopranos that you can hate because they're all bad guys, but you like them all. You got to have one guy who's so over-the-top bad.
So we're supposed to hate Ralphie?
I believe so.
Just kidding.
I believe so.
It's a joke.
I know.
Just a little joke.
It's a joke.
Blowing off a little steam.
I know you are.
I wish you guys were all there when I watched it the other night. Would have been a different experience.
With your mommy.
Yeah. No, she would have been. We would have asked her to leave. It's bedtime. Thank you very much.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, I want to wish you a happy Tuesday.
Right.
It's hard to follow up that last caller, but I want to talk about some college campus riots here.
Yeah, you know, I saw that the a-holes in Arizona did what the a-holes in Maryland did.
Exactly.
Yeah, it seems to be the norm now. It's not the exception to the rule. It's the rule that you... It's a fire normally, right? I mean, that's
they used to do it
when they won. They'd go crazy in the streets. And now it's a sore loser thing. They go out and tear the place up when
Duke
they lose.
Well, Duke did it, too. They had that
right?
I
saw a live picture at Duke last night where they were they were burning something up. And it didn't look... You know, it said, there's a bonfire. We're not sure whether this is sanctioned or not. And I was trying to identify what was in there. You know, whether it was the frame of a car.
It was a car. There was a mobile home. Burned also.
Really?
Yeah.
Guys, tell me what you think about this. In Division One college sports now, we've got to expect that college students are going to get pumped up about their team being in some kind of big event like this. And I think instead of trying to prevent it, we should maybe welcome it, but make it in a controlled environment. Because we should expect, myself am a college student.
Yeah, and exactly. How do you get a controlled environment where you're going to have people set large bonfires?
All right, well this is what I was thinking of. Just erect a bunch of temporary light posts, some old car frames and a couple pallets of wood, and let them go nuts.
They won't buy it. They're intelligent, these college students.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mike.
All right, get out of here.
Hey, but about the NCAAs, you got to give credit to our dog. You know, we had the baby and the dog pick the teams.
Yeah.
And even though the dog and the baby combined were not able to give us the national champion, the baby did pick Arizona to go all the way to the championship game.
The baby did a fine job.
It was supposed to be Arizona against Wisconsin, but, you know, Wisconsin got beaten 25 rounds ago.
And, you know, you hear all that talk about the Final Four, the NCAAs, because it's so scary unpredictable as to who's going to make it to the championship.
Yeah.
Hey, Duke won. Wow. Boy, am I surprised. I can't believe how incredibly spontaneous college basketball is. College basketball is just like the pros. The teams that win
yeah.
all the time.
So right? Duke is like a pro team?
They are a pro team. You know, with Coach K. Coach K looks like Spock.
I thought for sure, though, the other team was going to win because the other team has the coach with the dead wife.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And he was, I felt bad for him when he was at the post-game press conference. When he didn't, you know, hold back. He was bumming.
Yeah.
Pretty seriously.
I was positive that they were going to win because the coach's dead wife, which I guess is good news for Mrs. Coach K.
Mm-hmm.
Because as high-strung as that Coach K seems to be.
That's true.
If they would have lost, he probably would have killed his wife.
Yes.
Just to get the sympathy vote going next year. So
yep.
His players would dig deeper to give him that extra effort they need.
All about the team.
Motivation.
Sure is.
Then I saw, you know, they had Gary Williams, coach of the Terrapins, at the baseball game yesterday, at the Orioles game. You know, and it's like, there he is. Way to go. Hey, you know, they got pretty far. I'm happy for them.
No, they did good.
Everybody around this whole area, the Maryland team, everybody in the D.C. area, Virginia and Maryland, got kind of caught up with the Terrapins because they haven't been there.
Yeah, but like, nobody really gives a crap about the Maryland Terrapins.
Until they make it to the Final Four.
They only gave a crap about them until they made it to the Final Four, which is the first time ever in the history of the school. And then they lose the game, so how do you react? Oh, the people who've been fans for 5 days, they burn the town down.
Burn the town.
5 days of their life they'll never get
back.
The
one moment was that, you know, seeing that sofa. you know, come out of somebody's home, and be hurled into the fire, and it was like, yay, yay!
You know what? Some of those morons are going to get caught, though, because people were videotaping.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the cops on TV today saying that they've got all the videotapes, including close-ups. Mm-hmm. And what they're going to do is go through the student ID photo bank,
right?
And they're going to match up the pictures to find, like, what students lit cars on fire.
Sure.
Apparently they had one bonfire that was going so big that it actually set the telephone lines on fire,
right?
Yeah. And then that, like, now this is the worst in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You can burn a car, you can burn a pole, you can have a bonfire, but when you ruin cable TV reception,
yeah, which they did,
for 15,000 people,
that's serious business.
You know what that is? That's cut your nuts off time.
I heard the police chief, I think it was the police chief in College Park, saying if he had every member of his force out there, they would have been outnumbered 3-1.
Probably.
Well, yeah, that's why you're a police force. I mean, when have you ever seen a riot where you really have more cops than rioters? It's always going to be a mob scene.
Hey, listen, two words.
The rioters aren't carrying sticks and guns.
Two words for the cops in Maryland and Arizona and wherever Duke is, Carolina. Yeah, two words, rubber bullets.
I knew that was coming. It's always those rubber bullets, greatest invention of the 21st century.
Fantastic. Rubber bullets.
In the 20th century. I don't know when they invented them. Who
Hello,
knows?
Don and Mike Shields.
19th century.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah, we are. Hello there.
Hey, did anybody there see Boston Public last night?
No.
It was a rerun. I'm sure I've seen it before.
Did you notice that the black teacher said TNA, but spelled out? She said the T word.
A number of shows do that now on television.
You know what? I'm so. This is another thing that we're going to have to. Hey, congratulations. Thank you.
We've set a new record.
We've been on the air approximately 20 minutes.
Mark,
right here.
This what are you congratulating me for?
Well, I'm congratulating you for bumming me out.
Yeah, Don is officially back.
I'm bummed out now because now I realize that when I was on vacation and I heard different radio stations and watched television, I realized that everybody in the free world,
right,
broadcasting-wise, uses the T word,
mm-hmm,
except us. We're the only guys that are not allowed to.
Yeah, we're not allowed to do a lot of things that others are.
Yeah.
So what happens when you're pioneers?
To bum you out, just wanted to give you more ammunition for your cause.
Well, what ammunition? Like what? What do you think? I'm going to call up Mel Karmazan and say, hey, they said the T word on Boston Public. And he's going to go, well, okay, then go ahead, do it on the radio.
Well, I have no idea if that's the way it works. But, you know, just trying to be help. And
that's exactly the way it works, incidentally. Whenever there's a problem, either Mike or I immediately calls the CEO of this company.
We always do what we're told.
And so there's a red phone on your desk, hotline to Mel?
Yes, the bat phone. That's right. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for entertaining.
It's not a red phone. It's a red stone.
Bye-bye. And I would just like to say, when I was on vacation, and I was reading every day on this ship that we were on, and I will tell you about this in a moment, I will call it the USS Bob Evans.
Yum.
The ship that we were on.
The USS Great American Buffet.
Right. Every day, they would slip this thing under your door, which had, like, mimeographed copies of the news headlines from the day before.
Right.
And I was...
they'd also let you know what critters they were going to cook that night.
I would really enjoy getting the stock updates. And Viacom CBS was one of the stocks that they had.
Having another great day today, I believe.
And I saw as the stock went further and further down, it really made my heart warm and swell with love when I read that both Mel and Sumner Redstone,
mm-hmm,
each got a $15 million bonus last year.
That's fantastic.
And they each got a $53 million bonus based on their stock.
Way to go.
That's great.
Very good.
I said, that makes me feel so much better.
I know.
Knowing that such a great man is continuing to earn so much money.
It's fantastic.
Made me feel real good.
That's what happens when you're the boss.
Made me feel great. I said, yeah.
I'm all for that, incidentally.
What?
More bonuses for those gentlemen.
Me too.
Those fine gentlemen on this fine stage.
Me too. Hell, who cares if our stock is going down faster than lane closure? Who cares? All I know is that they got their bonus money.
Yeah. Good. Going down faster than Ralphie's girlfriend.
Sure is. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
And I didn't mean that as a murder joke, Rob. I meant that as the scene with the police officer joke.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, welcome back.
Thanks.
Is there anything wrong with saying the word sperm?
No. As far as I know, no.
All right, so you guys were on vacation. They were playing one of your wacky sketches from the past. And they played the word sperm backwards, so it sounded like merps every time you said it.
In what regard was the word sperm used?
I believe it was ingesting. Drinking.
That's going to be the exception. That's going to be 86 right there.
Yeah.
Because you can't say you drink it.
But it was
you just say drink it.
It was interesting to hear you say drinking merps.
Well, that was probably something originally that had been deleted out.
Yeah, it would only be messed with like that if you said, "Hey, drink my merps."
Right. All right. Thank you, my friend. Have a nice merp shake. Hello,
standing merps.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hello.
Hey, I'm
there.
Calling from Sacramento.
Hi.
And I wanted to tell you you're playing at the Sacramento Valley Amphitheater.
The Valley Amphitheater.
Yeah. It's up in Marysville, and it's a wonderful facility. I work out there, and the backstage area is really nice. You guys are going to be in a killer headliner deck, as we call it.
What's a killer headliner deck?
It's just a killer room. It's a room that's really awesome where we put you guys, the stars.
Like your green room.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Oh, is that where, like, where Van Halen gets BJs and stuff before the show?
Oh, you betcha, guys. You betcha. Everything's on in that room.
Yeah.
Well, and we have runners, so, if there isn't any Grey Goose on site, we'll definitely get some.
We'll all give them to each other. The only way it'll happen for us.
All right, goodbye.
Well, thank you.
All right, see you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Mea culpa. I'm sorry.
Why?
Well, last time we talked about the stock market, I told you guys if you hadn't sold yet, not to sell. Well, yeah. I was wrong. I'm not a former millionaire.
You're a former millionaire.
Yeah.
So you waited how long ago did you tell us to do this?
Oh, we had this conversation about a month ago.
About a month ago when I sold.
Yeah, good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't. And as far as I know, I haven't lost my ass yet.
I'm willing to take that hit because I was wrong.
As far as I know,
it's going to go back up. It is going to go, I think.
Yes, but you know what? It's going to be a long time before it does. This won't be a V bottom. It's going to be an L.
All right. Well, listen, sorry you're not a millionaire anymore.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right.
I will keep listening. You guys are great. I have to listen to static from 100 miles away. But thanks for the laugh.
All right, we'll keep listening.
That's the only thing keep me from jumping.
Keep working. But Ed, we'll write that down. We have one less millionaire listening to the show now.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy your next 20 or 30 years of work.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, I just wanted to let you all know that I am so happy you're back. I'm touching myself.
Great.
Terrific.
Great.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I need to pass on some information.
Yes, go ahead, pass
it on. Hey, tell them that there's going to be a new Star Trek series coming out in the fall.
Hold on a second.
All right.
You want to talk to them?
Well, you can tell them if you want.
No, I don't want to tell them.
Okay, go ahead.
You know what we really want?
What?
We want you to know that you are talking to them.
Oh, hell.
Right. Yeah.
Hello. John, my
hey, fat bastard.
Hey, you son of a bitch.
Hey, I was just curious of when we're going to get our wristbands and be able to trade them in for the Sacramento show.
Oh, you mean, are you calling from Reno?
No, for Sacramento.
No, I mean, you're calling about, so you were a Sacramento person who went to the Reno show?
Exactly.
That was canceled.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I don't know. I mean, I just know that we're going to be in both cities. We'll work something out. We'll have the details. It'll be forthcoming.
You know, what's interesting is because it's free. Since you didn't pay any money for it, you might want to. What I would do, really, and not knowing any of the details, I would just try to, go through whatever the procedure is going to be to get to one of those two shows.
Although I think most likely, if you've got a wristband from the Reno show that had to be canceled,
yes,
then you can use that to get into the next show. You don't have to go to Joe's car dealership or wherever the radio station wants you to go to get a ticket.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that would be great.
That's the way I imagine it will work.
Yeah, they'll figure something out for you, sure.
Okay?
Okay, we'll say hi to Mark Watley out there.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Love his sister. Jody Watley.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing, my brothers?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I apologize for being a couple of this behind here with what you were talking about, but with the rioting and the bonfires that occurred in Maryland. I actually live on Fraternity Row. I'm a house director for one of the fraternities. And you want to talk about the most god-awful response to something that they had to have seen coming for...
Are you talking about the law enforcement?
Correct.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, they're taking a lot of heat over this.
Well, they should. They were spectators.
I mean, I heard that there were a lot of cop cars out on Route 1 just sitting there.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, all these bonfires and, like feeling that their homes were in jeopardy of being burned.
They should have been loading up on the rubber bullets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. They may as well have brought weenies and marshmallows because at least they would have contributed something.
All right.
The kids that were doing it.
All right. Thank you.
Hello. I saw one of these girls that goes to Maryland. And, fine school. Nothing. I'm not going to cast any aspersions on Maryland. But she was interviewed, and this is a student. They put Maryland College student.
Did they spell it S-T-U-D-I-N-T?
I think so. Because she says, just a little bit.
She sounded like she had a cold.
We just think that it's okay to have a little party. Nobody was going to get hurt. Yeah, well, that's the news. That's the news. That's it. I guess we're caught up then, right?
Right.
Well, the Oscars, the Oscars.
Stossel.
Right.
Right. Charlie Stossel, eat me.
He's got to take a pie.
And I think he owes me $100, too.
I believe so.
Wow.
Yes, because his man... Tom, I'm a Fag Hanks, did not win for Castaway.
Your guy, Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe won, and Gladiator won.
I think the way they voted this year was pretty good. I like a lot of the people that won.
I like being on vacation and not having to watch it.
Yeah.
I really
it's the first
do.
Time I've ever missed it in a long, long time. I was, in the middle of traveling to Florida, so I didn't get a chance to see it at all.
No, I loved it. I loved the fact I didn't have to sit through 3 hours of BS on Monday morning when they came and slipped the thing underneath the door there on the USS Bob Evans. they told me how bad the CBS stock was doing. Right at the top, it said Julia Roberts, Russell Crowe win for Gladiator. Because when you go on a cruise like we do, down by Nassau and stuff, as soon as the ship gets out at sea, they tell you on the TV in the room that you can get ESPN,
mm-hmm.
but it's ESPN Spanish.
Okay.
And by that, I don't mean that it's, you're not looking at Dan Patrick and Rich Eisen with Spanish subtitles. You're actually seeing Spanish dudes who are sitting at the exact same set.
Really?
And they go,
so you think it's coming out of Bristol?
Somewhere,
mm-hmm.
It's got to be close because the set's exactly the same.
Right.
All of the graphics are exactly the same.
So you're actually relying on your visual to watch highlights and stuff like
that. Yeah, and then, of course, because it's going to...
Like all soccer?
Yeah, soccer is the lead, and then they had some cricket.
Right.
But they still have the da-da-da, da-da-da. And even though it's in a foreign country, they still call it... Sports Center.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, they'll be going through going, Sports Center. So I spent, I was, this I am amazed with. I sat like for an hour one day watching this, and Frieda said, we are on this boat,
right?
It's 80 degrees and sunny outside. What are you doing? And I said, I am watching ESPN. Look how funny this is.
You're experiencing other cultures.
Look how funny this is.
Absolutely.
It's my ESPN, the American ESPN, but they're speaking Spanish. And they call it Sports Center.
Do you think there would ever be like a cruise ship off the coast of Spain where they get in a cruise ship and then they see the Dan Patrick Sports Center and they're just laughing? There's some guy that's watching baseball highlights that's a big soccer fan laughing his ass off.
I don't think so. I think that's probably just me. That's just me. And on one of the channels, they ran movies just in German.
All right.
Were there a lot of Germans on your boat?
Tons of crowds on this boat.
Really?
Yes, tons of crowds. Could have been a Nazi convention for so many of them there.
Oh, God.
And you haven't lived until you've seen, like, the Three Kings with German overdubbing.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. They're easy to spot, aren't they, German tourists?
All of the German tourists. First off,
sandals with black socks.
They're all fat. all the men are exceedingly fat with big pendulated stomachs.
Hi.
And they all wear Speedos.
Yep.
They all wear Speedos.
Doesn't matter how fat some of the tourists are, if they're they wear Speedos, no matter. Doesn't matter. That's the style of suit.
I'll tell you one thing. We got to do a break. I'll tell you one funny thing. When we were on the boat, Frito and I were sitting up on the deck. We were reading our books and having a drink. And about 30 yards down on a lounge chair was this old dude, German dude. That's what we guessed because he had on the skinny bathing suit. And he was bald, old, mid-60s, and was just snoring. He was just laying back in the sun and mouth wide open. He's snoring. Frida says to me, "Hey, he's excited." And I said, "Oh, yeah," because I thought that she was talking about him snoring. And I went back to reading my book. She says, "No, look, really."
Oh, no.
He's excited.
He had a Woody?
She said, look in his crotch.
Oh, no.
So I look, and the guy...
One of those dreams.
He was dead asleep. So Frida starts scrambling for her camera.
He was with Elkie Summer.
Because this is what she wants to take a picture of. It's this old guy's boner. So she looks at the bag, and she goes, "Oh, I left the camera downstairs." So for the next, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes, we just sat there. We watched the guy, because at first I said to her, "You know what, that might just be the fold of his swimsuit."
Right.
That maybe it's not a boner.
Did you watch it so closely to see if it would move?
Well, we waited and we waited and we waited, and the guy woke up.
Right.
And when the guy woke up, he sat up in his chair, and he looked down. And as big as this guy's belly is, it's amazing you could see it. He immediately knew he had one, because he grabbed a towel and threw it over his lap, and then scrunched himself up in this lounge chair. And
look at Einen Woody!
Pulled his knees up towards his chest.
Oh, Einen Bona.
And waited for it to go away.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Yeah, lots of crowds on that boat. Lots of crowds.
On the boat.
They made half the announcements in English.
Das Boot.
And half the announcements in Spanish, which I'm used to when I travel.
Right.
But then the third of the announcements, it was a third English, third Spanish, and a third in German.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they were...
man on the deck for the bonus.
Yes, plenty of them. And now...
Right.
Here's one of the announcements.
For those of you who are visiting... From Germany.
Oh, here he goes. This is right from my ship. And basically what that said is dinner is served at 6:30 in the main seating room.
There you go.
You know, let me just get see my wife's at home. Oh, I know she's at home. Oh, listen, how could I forget to tell you this? Our lives have changed so much just in the last 2 days.
Why?
Because Bart got his driver's license.
Oh, so you're now it's freedom.
Yeah, you're talking about...
Well...
Hi, sweetie.
Oh, hi, boo.
You're talking about... He's gone to school, some form of school, since he was 3,
right?
So you're talking about now 13 years of for me getting up every morning and driving and him in the carpool,
right?
And every afternoon, Frida driving home for 13 years.
Sure.
Not to mention every piano lesson, you know, 7 years of piano lessons,
years
every sports event, every...
Yeah.
So it's now, like I just retired from my job.
We took him, we got him his license, he passed the test, and now he's free. He's on his own, and goddamn, we feel free.
Yeah, that's got to be incredible. I mean, after all those years of chauffeuring, you know, now you don't have that responsibility anymore.
And we, like you, don't live in town where things are 5 minutes drive away.
Right, exactly. So that's pretty much the reason why you do all that carpool.
Oh, my God. You know, I was thinking, hey, I could lease a car if I wanted to without putting 100,000 miles in a month on it like I have been doing, driving him around.
You know, this is what's amazing with this woman. You know, it all gets back to the money thing with you.
No.
Here I am discussing the fact that we finally have free time together.
Sugar,
Not to mention the fact that I just bought you a new car, but all you can think is, now that Bart's driving himself to school, you could lease a new car.
You know what? I'm so glad you're back to work. I don't want to lease a new car. I'm just saying, I've looked at all the different, you know, the way it changes. I don't want my new car. Really, what I was thinking, won't have the high mileage that every other car I've had has had on it, because Bart will not drive everywhere, certainly.
Hold on, honey. This is the only drawback of going on vacation, my wife did, because on this cruise, we got a room for Bart. He brought a friend along, so it was Frieda and I in our own room, which was wonderful, and the kids were in their own room, which was great, which meant lots of one-on-one time for Frieda and I, which I loved, except my wife loves to have theoretical discussions with me.
About what if?
About what if, right?
You know what? If you want to have are the discussions to tell me what city is vying for the next expansion team.
Oh, now, hold on. Let me ask you something.
And
hold on. No, honey.
When you tell me that.
That was comedy.
It's not funny.
I'm reading something in the newspaper. Oh. You need to tell me if this isn't funny,
okay?
This is not a joke. This is true.
Right.
That the Vancouver Grizzlies, they're going to move.
Yeah, they're not a very successful franchise.
At the basketball team. And Kentucky Fried Chicken wants to pay $100 million for the team to move them to Louisville.
Mm-hmm. And the punchline is...
Well, wait, hold on. No, wait a minute, hold on. And they're going to build an arena. So they're going to call the team the Kentucky Colonels, and they're going to play... The arena's going to be called...
The Bucket?
The Chicken Bucket.
That's good.
Is that funny?
That is funny.
I mean, that's not a joke.
Playing the Chicken Bucket.
That's real news.
That's probably the funniest thing since the pond for the Mighty Ducks, right, the Anaheim.
That was something I shared with my wife that I had read in the newspaper.
Well, that was like one fragment of the sports information I got on this vacation. Plus, if you could have told me it in Spanish, I mean, just to sit you, see you watching like Homer Simpson just because SportsCenter is in Spanish,
it's
I
funny,
think
man.
You know, they're not talking gibberish. It's a real language. It's not that funny.
No, it's funny. It's funny to watch it. Listen, that guy's boner.
Yeah. You know, it was probably 10 or 15 minutes that we were watching him waiting for him. Waiting for someone to see what his reaction would be when he discovered it.
Was he moving at all when he was sleeping, like, as though he was having some sort of, you know, how some people can move, like dogs move their paws?
No,
when they're having
his mouth was open, and I wanted to, I would like my parents to go on a cruise, and I wanted to give them, because he was an older man, and I wanted to take a picture, so I tell my dad that older people have great times on cruises.
And this guy, for being an old guy, he had it.
But he realized it.
Right. And he immediately put a towel on and hunched his knees up.
Looked over at you two staring at him.
Yeah, that's a good thing about sunglasses, because you can just outright stare at someone and they don't know where you're looking.
Yeah, you can put your head at a different angle and like move your eyes over to the left and just stare.
I had a book on my lap, like I'm reading the book.
All right, honey. Well, that's all I need from you, because I don't think I need your permission to talk about the stuff I want to talk about today. Listen, Ken and Roz, we've already discussed that.
Yeah, but
that'll be fine.
And the other and no one else will hear. I mean, the people we met on the cruise won't hear, but
good.
Just as a good person, try not just make me proud of you.
Honey, I just want to talk about that broad at dinner.
Sugar Bear, just be a good person.
I just want to talk about the, you know, when you go on one of these ships, when you go on the USS Bob Evans, they put you in a dining room where you eat with
your hands.
You eat with the same people every night.
Right.
And they put us at a table with this divorced broad from Chicago who just... Between the flashy jewelry and the...
Did she have big cleavage?
The fake tan. Well, yeah, but she did because she was fat.
Ah.
You know, she was just... She wasn't skinny.
She was annoying. And she was annoying.
You know what?
God.
She was annoying to you, but I got tired. I got to hear some other news aside from sports. Or sports and cigars. That would have been my vacation. And you never danced with me.
Every single night of the... Well, excuse me. I passed a kidney stone on the night that we were going to dance together.
Oh,
another
Z
stone.
Night. I didn't know that was the night. I didn't have that in my diary. It wasn't written down.
That was the night.
No, there were like four nights before that you could have danced with me.
Well, that was the night. Thursday night was the night.
Little did I know.
The dance night.
But it didn't matter because you had your friend at the table. I mean, every night at dinner, I'd get done with dinner.
Right.
I'd give Frida a look like, let's go. And she'd look back at me and say, I'm not ready to go. I would excuse myself from the dinner table.
There you go.
I'd say, well, I've had about enough night.
That's what that many years of marriage does. You can do that.
I'd lean over and say, good night, honey, I love you. And I'd say, in a tubbo.
Nubbo.
See you tomorrow.
Nubbo.
She was annoying.
Really? Who was the celebrity she most resembled?
Oh, God. Honey?
I'm thinking on it.
Kay Ballard?
You know what? No, Tammy Faye, but a heavier Tammy Faye Baker.
Oh, oh my God.
Much heavier.
No.
Oh, wow. I thought you said she was ugly.
A heavier Tammy Faye Baker.
Wow.
Who enjoys talking about herself.
Did you ever bring her back to the room?
Did I bring her back to the
room? You and Frida. Oh,
you know who she told me that she's been told she looks like? Linda Evans. That's him.
Oh, yeah. Bizarro Linda Evans. Jesus Christ. Oh, this woman was absolutely 100% butt annoying. And we had to have dinner with her every single night.
No,
you have to do that?
And I've got her email address. She's my new pal.
Oh, she's not your... But come on, honey, she can't... We're not on in Chicago. She can't hear this. You're not her friend.
You know, and
she had it right the first night when she sat down, when she said, everybody on these cruises pretends like they're friends, and you exchange addresses, but then you never really hear from them again.
Go your separate ways.
Yeah.
With email, it's so easy. I mean, I am planning on emailing her.
Really? What are you going to email her? Dear Cindy, how big is your ass
today? Yeah, I told you she was nice. I enjoyed talking to her.
So Bubby, send you one of those emails where they demand a receipt, you know, to recognize that you've received it. You know that little
thing
in the box when you open the email? I hate that.
Right. All right, honey.
Goodbye, boo.
All right, love you.
I love you too, but I'm not going to listen now if you're going to be mean.
I'm not going to be mean.
All right.
I mean, I think I've gotten it out of the way with the...
Okay, good.
With the fat lady from dinner who drove me crazy. Just
all right, Boo-Boo.
Every night just drove me nuts.
You know, those in glass houses, you have lost weight and you look great, but she's no more overweight than you are.
Oh, honey, please.
That's true.
Please.
Does she have big...
I swear to God, that's true. You don't see yourself, but that's true.
Are you saying I'm as fat as she is?
I'm saying percentage-wise, she's no more than you. Right.
All right, now, wait a minute. Hold on.
Does she have big, beautiful breasts?
No, she had fat lady breasts. You know, like they were exaggerated because she was fat. If she was normal size, they would have been like nothing.
How much weight do you think you would have to lose to be your perfect weight?
Me, another 40 pounds.
Well, I would say that she would have to lose less than that.
And I'd say you need to have that laser eye surgery done again.
No.
You think that broad is more than 40 pounds?
Less than 40 pounds
away from her ideal weight?
You know what? You have no idea with the weight of women, and I think of this all the time, and I don't even like to discuss it with you because weight is usually not one of my favorite topics, especially after we've spent a week on a cruise. But you tell women all the time they're fat, and yet you call me anorexic, and I'll be thinking... Well, I weigh more than that woman just said she were. And
you are anorexic. Yeah, I swear to God you are.
But when women tell you their size and it's not a big size or their weight and you don't think they should be tall enough or their boob size, a lot of times it's either small or bigger than me. And whatever insult you've said to that woman.
I'm telling you, that woman was a pig. Are you saying I'm a pig?
I'm not saying she was a pig.
She was a pig.
She was not.
She was undoable. She was such a pig.
You know what? I know she wouldn't be your cup of tea because she was somewhat overweight and older than you are.
This is making me cry because it's reminding me of a line my brother-in-law had. My brother-in-law visited us over the weekend. And we're at a cocktail party and we're talking about, you know, I'm looking at a place where a vacation place where to go play golf, and he likes to go to the beach. And I said, I'm standing there in this big group of people, and I said, yeah, well, if you saw his golf swing, you'd understand why he doesn't want to, you know, be at a golf place. Uh-huh. And then my brother-in-law didn't miss a beat and said, yeah, if you saw him in a bathing suit, you'd understand why he doesn't go to the beach. Bada bing. It was funny, though.
You?
It was funny because he was like, I was dissing him, and then he came right back. But, you know, it's
hey,
true.
You know, and furthermore, F you know how much weight I've lost. I'm not as fat as that lady is.
Why are you saying F me when I just told you you look great?
No, but
and I'm very proud of you, I know you've lost more than 20 pounds.
You said I look the same as that lady does.
I'm saying you are admittedly not your ideal weight, And she is not. Only you see other
Honey,
people.
Honey, she's gigantic.
What?
She was gigantic.
She was
I would estimate her dress size to be a 14 minimum.
Okay, wait a minute. She might wear a 14, but I'll tell you, a 14 is the average size of the American woman, for you know, fat as it is. And so she's not gigantic. She's overweight.
What is the average American male's waist size?
What is it?
I mean, you say that there's, you have that statistic, there's the average dress size, but what is the average American male's waist size?
I don't know.
You can almost judge that from how fast a set of jeans go, you know, a given size at a given store. 36s are usually the first to go, so I'm going to guess that's the most common size.
But I would say...
Welcome back, F you, Buzz.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I've got 36s that I can squeeze into, but I'm in 38s today, and I feel very comfortable.
And I am moving into that area of 38s.
You know,
I am just about to go into the 38s. I have worked very hard. At one point, I had a 44-inch waist, and I am almost at the 38-inch waist. And when I get into those 38s, and that's why I didn't like your little comment about 36.
You asked, I said.
I was going to say, 38s is good. I would think that's, you know, somewhere, 38s I would think would be.
You know what? I would say average. 38 too, because, Buzz, even though a 36 jeans might go faster, the fat people on the very end of it aren't wearing jeans. They're wearing, you got to average in muumuus.
Thank you, Frida.
And also, 36 because we're short people too. We're all pretty tall around here, and that's going to give you just a bigger carriage.
Hey, but listen, either way, I'm telling you, this woman that I'm talking about on the boat.
If you're saying
about 300 pounds,
you line me up to her, and I'm Karen Carpenter. I swear to God, you line the two of us up together.
No, you know what? You don't even have to explain anymore because you put it perfectly. If you think she's a 14, which she might have been, that's overweight, but that's average. And I'm telling you, on this boat where like half the hobby was eating, that's probably underweight.
Christ. don't even get me going about that. Listen, about this boat.
Right,
that we were on.
The Bob Evans cruiser.
The USS Nose Picker.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen to this. How retarded is this? Oh, goodbye. I got a break.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, bye-bye. You know, they have food, of course.
Food's one of the big things on a cruise. What do you do?
24 hours a day. But on one night, they've got a midnight buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And they come around, they announce to everybody, tonight's the midnight buffet. And we go, oh, all right, big deal, thank you. They say, now, you may get in line for the midnight buffet at 11:30.
That's what I hate about a cruise line.
Now, wait. You get in line at 11:30 with your cameras to take pictures of the food.
What?
Then after you...
So is the food supposed to be that special?
It's a friggin' buffet that has like an ice sculpture in the middle of it. We don't know. We never stayed up late enough to see it.
Right.
After you wait in line for a half hour to go through, and we actually heard people talking on the boat, like about charging up their VCR batteries so that they could actually take their home movie cameras in to get the movies at the buffet.
That is too funny.
After you wait in line to take the pictures of the food, then you have to go back out and get in a separate line.
Imagine the self-discipline.
To eat the food.
The willpower required to, like, take your video camera through and not reach for the shrimp.
And one of the things that this lady that was at our table said to us in her Chicago accent was, she said, well, because I'm in a suite, I get allowed a special time in the buffet line. They allow me in at 11:45. I don't have to wait in line to take the pictures of the food.
That is weird.
Yeah, right.
Was there anything special in the line besides an ice sculpture? Was it great chow or what?
As far as I could tell, it was the same food that they laid out at every single meal.
Oh, okay.
Which was like Bob Evans food.
I suppose there's a limit to food. I mean, food is food.
Right, food is food.
Right.
But all
sorry,
I know
Rob.
Was...
I apologize. Sorry, Rob. Food is not food. Some food is special.
All I know is that at midnight there was like 1,000 people in line just to take pictures of the food.
You know, when I was in Miami, I had that stone crab stuff they sell down there. You know, stone crab, like four little claws, $1,500,000.
Well, that's not a cheap place to go.
No.
On the other hand, the boat that we went on, let me tell you, probably what you got in your pocket, you could probably get on the boat.
The nose bigger.
Get a nice room and stand in line with everybody at midnight to take pictures of the food.
Did you smell a lot of B.O.?
Yes, you did.
After a day in the sun.
Yes, you did.
But you did enjoy Mr. Liddy's speeches, didn't you?
Rob, I have a treat for you.
What's that?
hold on. I know we got a break, but this is so inside. I don't care. I don't give a rat's ass. You will laugh your ass off.
Okay.
I got to see if Frida has the picture. Honey, where you at? Honey, pick up. I'm not talking about the fat broad now. Pick up.
I'm excited.
Hello?
Honey, have you developed the pictures yet?
No, my boo-boo.
Will you do that, please?
I will try, but they're not... Well, okay, they were on the first roll. The second roll, it's only half gone, so I wasn't going to. But I'll develop the first roll, the one you want.
Rob, yes. I had my picture taken directly in front of... The ass has been down.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
There it is, waiting for his cruise.
That'll be excellent.
The G. Gordon Liddy boat.
Very good.
We got off our boat somewhere.
He has yet to go on that cruise.
And
right?
I thought,
well, he's been on it in the past.
Oh, he's been on it in the past, right?
I got it painted right on the back, gigantic. USS Veendam. And I said to Frida, you got to get me a picture for Rob A.
The Veendam.
Exotic ports of call. That is awesome.
I am standing right at the base of the boat. And I got my hands like what's her name, like Vanna White, and I'm pointing up at USS the Aus Veendam.
So after this, I guess you're ready now for us to do our show cruise.
One step closer.
Right.
That was another one of the hypothetical discussions, the useless discussions that Frida wanted to get into with me on this trip.
Were you for it, Frida?
No, you know what? I would have been for it before the trip.
Okay, good. I agree.
We actually had a good time, but the reason we had a good time is because we mostly just hid out.
Yeah, you could get away from people.
Yeah, and if you were on one of those things, there would be no hiding out. You'd be, you know, if we could divvy up the duties so that we could hide out and you could socialize in the bar, you know, all day long.
I would get to a point, I'm sure, in that environment, because I didn't like it the one time I was on a boat. I didn't like the crowd scene. It gets a little too intense. Too many people crammed together.
Besides, we'd have everybody staring at our boners
as we slept. And you know, that's every time we sleep.
All right, honey. I got to go.
All right. Bye, baby.
Bye-bye.
But I accept that. I wouldn't be throwing on a towel.
Hey, Robbie, what's the deal? This thing queued up. There you go. There you go. Secret sound. This is the same secret sound as before we went on vacation, right?
Right, it's still great.
Same one?
Still great.
Still great?
It's the same one I don't know.
Let me hear it.
Play it, please. That's a clicking sound.
Ah, that's it, right.
All right.
You know that sound? You're going to win $500. Be the 100th caller right now at 877-365-3636.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Want to test him out? Why don't you try the old Jerry Lewis trick?
Jerry Lewis?
I heard when Jerry Lewis left a meeting, he'd purposely leave a briefcase with a tape recorder in it. Then after 5 minutes, he'd come back for it, listen to what everyone said about him.
That's pretty paranoid.
Yes, it is.
I like it.
Oh, that reminds me.
It's Heat, the Don and Mike Show.
I got about a million great articles to read you. And one of them is about Jerry Lewis and the...
Hey, lady.
I know we've talked a lot about the movie that he made that's never been released, The Day the Clown Cried.
Yeah, about the Holocaust. It wasn't it a comedy that he tried to make about a concentration camp?
Yeah. Well, we finally have gotten a hold of an article that has all kinds of direct excerpts from the script.
Yeah, and it's weird. Yeah. And it's something I don't think he likes to talk about.
It's Jerry. For those of you who love Jerry the way we love Jerry,
right?
It's great Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have, it's a very Nazi-related show today. We have George Bush's Nazi ties.
Really?
Not his neckties. Family fortune was built on business deals with Hitler.
Oh, I had no idea.
From the tabloids. Also, from the tabloids, Mike, take a look at this picture. Bob Hope fading fast.
Where do they get these pictures of Bob Hope?
I want to tell you.
My God, that's the one. That looks almost like it's a cartoon.
Let me just tell you. A brief excerpt from the Bob Hope article.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob for Texaco Hope.
Bob was recently in an ice cream parlor in Palm Springs, California. He was with a caretaker who ordered him an ice cream cone. When it came,
give it to me.
Bob did not know what it was,
oh, no.
And dumped ice cream all over the floor.
Oh dear! Oh.
Yeah,
Bob fading fast.
And
how long? How many years has Bob been fading fast? Isn't this like his 15th year?
Yes. Well, he's 97 now, so it's
God
been
bless him.
A long time.
All right.
And Mike, special for you.
Ah, very good.
I have
from the disc jockey magazine Radio and Records.
Yes.
An article here about disc jockeys who have other professions.
Okay.
And as you can see, one of the disc jockeys highlighted is your friend Jack Diamond.
Right? Is there something about his band?
Yes, it's an entire half a page article about his band.
Well, I'd love to hear that. I really would.
And I'm going
to
be sharing with you later. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot. It's a
read. We had crap practice last night, incidentally, too.
Yeah, trying to spice up the list.
Just food for thought. Well, as a matter of fact, he mentions here how many songs his band does.
How many songs? Just tell me how many songs his band does. I'd be curious about
hold
that.
Hold on.
Does he say how many?
Although the band is able to rotate 60 to 70 songs.
Oh, see, he's got me dusted right there.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Tie a yellow ribbon.
Hello.
I am the 100th caller.
Yes, you are. What's your name, my friend?
Larry from Dale City.
Larry. Larry, here you go. You've won the Blockbuster prize pack. Now, this is a great prize, a 52-week rental card. Awesome. That means you go to Blockbuster every week and rent a DVD for free for a whole year.
Cool.
Don't forget to watch your favorite stars and movies and music on the Blockbuster Entertainment Awards on Fox on April 11th. Now, are you ready to go for $500?
I'm ready.
I'm going to give you a clue. All
right.
For the secret sound.
Awesome.
Secret sound number one.
Okay.
This is a sound that you could have heard if you were on vacation with Frieda and me and Bart. You could have heard this sound if you waited in line for the midnight buffet.
All right.
All right? Mm. Now, that is a great clue, Rob.
Really good
clue. I virtually have given you the money.
Yeah.
We wish you Godspeed. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
The Talking Heads.
Here we go.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. And that's your clue. I see Buzz already has something written down.
I know what it is.
You know it. We'll write it down. Listen, if we do have a winner, it's courtesy of Main Street Title.
This ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't no fool in the ride.
Yes!
All right, a lighter.
For $500, lay it on me.
A lighter.
Hold on. Buzz, don't hold yours up to you.
No. A lighter. He says a lighter.
Yes.
A lighter.
Mike, what you got?
Hold on. Again, I'm writing it down.
Buzz, hold yours up first. Mike, that's wrong. Turn your head away, please. Buzz? Buzz, you have it.
Ooh, cool.
God, I hate the secret sound game. I never get it right.
Your guess was? Hey, you, Larry. Larry, what was it, a lighter?
Lighter, yeah.
Yeah. Not a chance. Thank you, though. Never forget, Larry, that every guess is a clue
for you.
For you.
Damn it.
And Buzz, actually, to be honest, I would ask you to be more specific.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. All right.
You would have had to be more specific.
That's the second one. Isn't that the second one you've gotten that I haven't gotten?
Yeah, but you've gotten many more that I haven't.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a push.
Well, right. Maybe.
So, listen, let me tell you about this cruise that we were on.
Okay.
On, as I said, the
SS Nose Picker.
Right. The SS Bob Evans. The SS Denny's. We get on this boat, and my whole medical thing is still a CF. Mm-hmm. That before we left, I had to go to the doctor to have a procedure done.
Right.
I got on the boat. I felt great. I'm on the boat. One day I wake up and I say, God damn, I feel sore. And Frieda says to me, oh, you're just trying to get out of snorkeling with the stingrays today. And I said, no, I'm not. I really don't feel well. And the next thing you know,
snorkeling with your own stingray, aren't you?
I go to take a pee and boom, out comes another kidney stone.
Shoots right out?
Yeah. Totally unprepared.
Was it as bad as the other ones?
No, not at all.
Really?
Totally unprepared for it. So, I had that crap going on. But beyond that, we had a great time on the cruise. And the best time that we had on this cruise was just looking at people.
Right.
Looking at people, listening to people, observing what people were saying, people planning their day around food, people planning their day around... Like, for instance, at one point, they get on the ship system, they say, attention, free rum tasting.
Hey.
Free rum tasting now on deck number 6. And immediately, everybody from the boat leaves. So we go down to see what the hubbub's all about.
Free rum tasting.
Okay.
They have one bottle.
They have glasses that are about the size of a NyQuil cup. You know the cup you get on top of your bottle of NyQuil?
Yeah, sure.
And they put in maybe a
quarter inch of rum.
And is it one to a customer?
One to a customer.
That sucks.
Yet people are lined up for a mile for this.
Like a big line?
Yeah, a gigantic line to get their free rum.
So see, right there, you have nailed why I don't like to go on those boats. Because that it's a mob mentality, isn't it, most of the time?
And immediately we figure out that whenever it says free, that's going to be the time that we go and steal a deck chair.
Right.
See, that's the other great thing about this cruise. Not a great thing, but the way they get you is that they put 2,000 people on this boat,
right,
but they only put out about 100 deck chairs. Which means that when you're out at sea, only about 100 people can actually sit by the pool.
Right.
Which means that 1,900 people have to walk around the ship and spend money. Yes, you have a question.
I have a question. What happens when someone leaves their towel on their deck chair to go to the free rum tasting?
Ah.
Can you claim their deck chair?
I did.
Ah, good. Wow.
I did, and I got busted a couple times.
Right.
Because we would be standing there. We'd see, and finally I figured out, you know, because they give you these announcements that say, please do not reserve deck chairs.
Mm-hmm.
But after 3 days of playing by the rules and noticing that people would save chairs and no one would ever show up to sit in the chair,
right,
I would wake up at my normal time, like 6:15, 6:30 in the morning. First thing I would do is go up to the pool area.
And stake out, get a towel and stake out your chair?
I get two towels and I get a couple of books. And I put the towels and the books on the chair.
Right.
Then we go back and we have breakfast and I watch my Spanish ESPN Sports Center.
Sure.
And about 9 o'clock, we make our way up by the pool. And by this time, people are milling around. And I found the secret to not getting a chair stolen is to put a personal article on the chair.
Right.
Put a T-shirt or a book or something on the chair along with the towel.
Or urinate on it.
But we,
you know, if you mark the chair, it won't be taken.
We found out that every time they announced something for free, which we knew it was going to be a ripoff,
right,
we could immediately go up to the pool and we'd find a great place to sit.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they said,
attention pizza lovers, free pizza now being served at the Islands Cafe.
Free pizza.
So we,
people run?
Yes. I mean, it's like it's a stampede. We're going against the flow of traffic.
Right.
We go out to the pool. We get two primo chairs.
Is access, you know, they always talk about food on cruises, but is real access to food, isn't it difficult? I mean, it's not as though you say you can eat all the time. Yes, you can, but don't you have to, like, endure a line for,
yes,
like, lunch and things like,
yes,
that if you really want food?
You can eat all the time if you plan on spending half of your time
waiting in line
to eat all the,
exactly,
time. So, like with a free pizza, we would go out against the crowd, get our beach chairs, get the primo position.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go back and look, and they're giving away squares of pizza.
Of course, little ones.
That look like the size of, like, Cheez-Its crackers, okay?
Like those little pizza hors d'oeuvres.
Yes. Right. It's like, what they did is they got a pizza, and they cut it up into one-inch squares. And you wait,
one to a customer?
You wait in line, yes.
It's free!
And you get your piece of pizza on a toothpick. And listen, they love this.
Free pizza.
And the shows?
Yeah.
The entertainment?
Were there any headliners?
All hosted, no. All hosted by the cruise line's fad cruise director.
The stereotype continues.
But no. I mean, this guy.
No, but I mean, that's what you think of on, right, those ships.
This guy talked like this. I'm not exaggerating. His name is John. Hi, I'm the cruise director.
Hello, gorgeous.
And his job was to come out every night and get on stage, and he had a tuxedo on. Hi, everybody. This is Johnny Gay. We want to say welcome to the Century. And tonight we have a great show for you all the way from Las Vegas. We have Buzz and Marsha. They're going to be out here doing some juggling for you. Say, does anybody in the audience enjoy juggling? You know, and these people are going nuts for this.
Right.
So at one point we said, boy, the shows suck. The free food sucks. But they got a movie theater on this boat. Let's go to a movie.
Wow.
Well, what's the movie they're showing? The movie I walked out on. The Helen Condon and what's his name movie? What Women Want.
Oh, yeah. What Women Want.
The movie I walked out,
right,
on.
Exactly. With Mel Gibson.
With Mel Gibson.
Right.
So we
That's
go in.
That's a perfect movie, though, it sounds like, for the nose picker, you know.
It's funny. He can hear their mind. We sit down and we realize that they've edited the movie.
Oh, really?
Because you're on a cruise ship, they've edited the movie. So it's like, even though we're sitting down and we're watching something for free, which for a change is not crowded,
right?
We don't like that either because they've edited the movie. So we get up and we leave, and we ended up just spending just Frida and I lots of time together.
Right.
Well, one day we're going to do a family outing. See now, because Bart was on the boat and Bart had his friend, and
did he have a good time on the boat?
He had a great time,
right?
Because there's tons of stuff for kids to do, and they had like teenage parties, and they stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning, and all this other crap. But one day, one of the family things we were going to do was, you get off the boat, and you take an excursion. You get off the boat, and you get in this big gigantic taxi that holds 16 people.
Another boat?
No.
Oh, you get on a bus?
You get off the boat and you get on a taxi. You're on land.
All right. Well, don't they have to shuttle you from the boat, or do they go right to the dock?
They pull right up to the pier.
Oh, very cool.
And you walk off the boat, and we've paid for this already, that this guy's going to drive us to a beach. We spend 2 hours at the beach, and he drives us back to the boat. So we're on this thing. We got, you got to rent your towel before you get off the boat.
God.
You got to buy your water before you get off the boat.
Another line for that?
Yeah, of course. Everything's a line. So they make us wait, and we're sitting on this bus, and the guy says, "Hello, man. My name is Freddy, man. How you doing, man? We'll be going to the special beach today, man. Now, I'm going to leave at 11:30. That means when you hear me honk the horn like this, that means you come back to the bus because we're going to be leaving in 5 minutes.
It's people. These are adults that he's speaking.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But he's got, whatever it is, the Jamaican accent or whatever the accent.
Right, yeah, but he's also, has to honk the horn.
So we go to this beach, and it's a nice enough beach, and he's supposed to honk the horn at 11:30, mm-hmm. and the bus is supposed to leave to take us back to the cruise ship, which is incidentally about 20 miles away, supposed to leave at 11:35.
Right.
At 11:20, Bart says, "Hey, Kyle and I are going to go wait on the bus." That's the friend we brought with us. We said, "Great, go ahead. Mom and I will be there in a second." Mm-hmm. So now I'm watching my watch. It's 11:23. We've packed up all of our crap. We're walking to where the bus is, and as we are walking to where the bus is, it's driving away. Now, at this point, Frida and I start flat out, balls out, running after the bus, going, "Wait, stop, stop, stop." And we see Bart, and we see his friend Kyle, and they're saying, "Stop, stop, my mom and dad are right back there, my mom and dad are back there." And the bus driver slows down, waits until we get close, then laughs and takes off.
Like permanently?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Now, keep in mind, we have the boys' passports.
Right.
We have their identification to get back on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've gone off with the jolly cab driver. They've left us at this remote location. And now I'm pissed.
Right.
No, I'm really pissed. So I go over and I say to the guy, "Hi, listen, we were supposed to be on that bus that's going back to the cruise ship. He left early. We got to, you got to get us there because we got two kids. They can't get on the boat without us."
Mm-hmm.
The guy says, "No problem, man. He's my car." So we sit in this car and he goes, "You just have to wait till 8 more people come." I said, "Why do I have to wait for 8 more people?" "Because it has to be a full car, man. It has to be a full car." So I said to the guy, "All right, listen, how about I give you $20 right now, you just take me and my wife?" He goes, "I don't know, man." I said, "Please, my child and my friend, they're on this bus. They're going to get off the bus. They're not going to be able to get on the boat. They're kids."
He wants more money.
Yeah, he wants more money.
Oh, yeah.
Fortunately, at this point, two other people, real time now, 11:30, the time we were supposed to meet.
Right.
Two other people come up and they go, "Hi, you're on the cruise, right? Where's the bus?" And we tell them the story. Well, the bus took off without us. So now these two people, they want to get back to the ship. So they say
Was the bus full?
No, the bus was not full. The driver was just an a-hole.
Oh, my God.
So they announced that they'll give this guy $20 too. So now the guy's going to make $40. So there's four of us riding on like a tram from Disney World. One of these buses that's really, it's like there's no doors or anything on it. It's like an amusement park ride. And this guy's going down the street and like he's wanting to do stuff like stop and show us donkeys on the side of the road and show us an iguana on the side of the road. And we're saying, just drive the freaking car. So finally we get back to the ship. And we're in a panic mode at this point because we look around and we don't see the kids anywhere.
Right.
So I get on the ship and I go up to the whatever the desk is where I talk to the fag cruise director and I say, hi, listen, I'm not here to bust balls, but you lost my kid. You know, we paid whatever it was, $28 to go on this stupid excursion, and the driver drove away. Left us there.
With my child.
Drove away. I said, my kid is screaming. My mom and dad are back there. Everybody on the bus is screaming. He slows down the bus, and then he honks the horn and laughs and drives away.
Unbelievable.
The guy says to me, so what's the problem? I said, okay, here's the problem. I don't know where my kid is. I don't know where the kid with my kid is. I paid you for this excursion, and I just had to pay $20 to get the taxi ride back. Well, the taxi ride back from the beach is only $6. I said, no, 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 no. I had to pay $20 because the guy wanted to wait to fill his taxi.
He had to light the guy up.
Right.
Right.
So that, it's like, I realized at this point, I'm arguing with this guy about $14. And I don't care about the money. I just want to know, what are you going to do? Where's my kid? Where's the bus with my kid on? Did he arrive? I don't know, sir, though. They're independently contracted outside the ship. And he put his little hands on his hip. He's got.
So what were you dealing with here? Somebody who's used to dealing with situations like this, obviously.
He's got his short sleeve striped shirt on, and he's got his little captain's hat with the scrambled eggs on top of it, you know, and the little anchor in the middle of it sewn in. And he just looks at me and goes, well, your son hasn't checked in here at guest services. I said, well, he can't check into guest services because he can't get on the boat because I've got his passport and his card. He says, well, why do you have the passport and the card? Because I'm the adult.
I'm his father.
Because I'm the adult. We went on a sanctioned event from this boat to this beach. We hold the passport. We hold the card. The kids got on the bus. The bus left without us.
Happy vacationing.
I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do for you. So by this time, I go back outside off the boat. I've tried to call their room. There's no luck. Fortunately, the dickhead bus driver stopped so that they could watch Goats. And as it turns out, Frida and I got back to the boat.
Oh, you beat them back to the boat.
Got back before them. So by the time I went outside, the kids were standing out there, and, you know, they thought it was funny.
Right.
Bert and Kyle thought it was funny. They said, hey, we saw you and Mom running towards
I was wondering for a second if they were not pulling a practical joke on you.
No,
hey,
no.
Go, 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 go.
No, no, no. We heard them. We saw them screaming, stop. And all of the people on this double-decker outdoor bus stop, they were screaming, stop, stop.
So the guy, the driver, heard loud and clear.
Yeah, absolutely the driver heard loud.
Just having a little fun with the tourists.
Yeah, so we get back on the boat, and then Frida gets, and now I don't know why she gets mad at me for this. They screwed up. We paid $28 a person to go on this goddamn beach excursion, which they screwed up. So I went to the front desk and I said, I would really appreciate it if you would refund the cost since it wasn't an enjoyable experience. And I was worried about my kids and, you know, this was a hassle. So the woman says, I'll have to look into it and have someone call you later in your room. I said, great, thank you. So now it's about 6 o'clock that night. I was taking a nap. Phone rings. And it's another guy who wants to give me the third degree on. And immediately the guy starts in with, well, why did you pay $20 for the cab?
Oh, man. Unbelievable.
I paid $20 for the cab because I wanted to get back. I said, listen, can I talk to your supervisor, please? I'm just so tired of this. And he says, yes. Woman gets on the phone. The woman starts the same conversation with me. Well, the first question I have, sir, is why did you pay $20 for the cab? And at this point,
unbelievable.
At this point, I said, listen, bitch. And at this point, I look outside and I say, Frida's giving me the look.
Oh, there you go. Well, it's officially over at that point.
I said, listen, bitch.
Any chance of any solution?
It's simple. I just want a refund because the driver left my wife and I stranded and drove away. I don't want the $20 for the cab. I don't want to explain to you why I paid $20 for the cab. I just want a refund. And there's silence, and I was really hot. I said, bitch, did you hear me?
Oh.
And she said, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Click. And I hang up the phone, and I walk over to this little table where my wife sat in my room, and she says to me, Why do you have to be such a bastard?
Did you ever get your refund?
Yeah, we did.
You did?
Yeah, we did.
You did?
We did.
As a matter of fact, they ended up refunding us more than they needed to.
Wow.
They refunded
That's amazing, because usually once you use that word, forget it.
No.
That's an exception to the rule.
A guy called the next day, and I said, hey, I'm sorry, I called some manager a bitch. I said, but she had it coming. Because she was like the fifth person in a row I had tried to explain this to, and the guy just said to me, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it.
Wow.
So that was fine.
Oh, man.
That was fine. But from that point on...
Well, you get to call her a bitch, you ain't get your money back. That's Frida, a bonus.
Frida was petrified, you know, to walk around the ship because she was positive that...
Did your food taste funny from that point forward?
No, it was great. They got so many people who work on the boat. They never know.
They don't know.
Yeah, but she was petrified to make eye contact with anyone who works on the boat because she was positive I had, like, the scarlet letter on me. But I'm the guy that called the woman the bitch.
Man, they put you through a ringer, though, on those.
Yeah, they do. So we... At this point now, I'm looking forward to the day when we're going to meet Ken and Roz.
Yeah, because it's been that horrible an experience so far.
At this point, I've been so stressed out by being on this cruise ship that I'm actually looking forward, how ridiculous is this, to spending time with Ken Stevens.
A familiar face.
So the boat docks in this place where Ken vacations. And Frida goes to a payphone and calls Ken's wife, Roz. And, of course, nothing's easy.
Right.
They're 25 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get in a cab. We've got to, you know, go through the backwards country. The lady cab driver doesn't know where we're going.
Right.
So, finally, we get there.
Does she tell you she's going to beep the horn when it's time to leave, Ken?
No. This cab driver was great. She was great. And by the time we got... to where Ken and Roz were, I had never been so glad to see people that I knew,
right,
who didn't pick their nose and eat it, who didn't wait in line for an hour to get, you know, a thimble full of rum, who didn't want to stampede each other to get a free one-inch slice of pizza, who wouldn't leave us waiting at the dock. And I mean, I saw them, and I know that they were amazed, because I embraced Roz. I mean, she came up like this, and I gave her a big old squeeze. It was like...
How long did it last?
It was a lingering hug.
Now, how long did it last, your euphoria being around?
The whole time I was with them.
Oh, my God.
Wow. The whole time. Well, it was helped by the fact that we met them at about 10:30 in the morning.
Right.
We sat down for lunch at 11, and within an hour, Ken and I had each of consumed three martinis.
Oh, that'll help.
So it was a really nice time, and as much as I would like to bust balls and say, you know, Ken's an a-hole, we had a really good time.
Well, that's even.
That's good.
That's good.
And young Douglas, their six-year-old son, he is a chip off the old block.
Oh, really?
At one point, Roz, this is right after we got there, and we're looking, you know, and keep in mind now, we're on this ship, and we got, you know, this little room with this little window, and we're going stir crazy. We're waiting in line to get a one-inch slice of pizza. We're at this place where Ken and Roz are at, which is like the freaking Taj Mahal.
A really nice place.
I mean, they've got this gigantic place all to themselves, and it's secluded and stuff.
Right.
So we walk down this little grassy path to where there's an area. Ken says, that's my pool, and there's a private bartender there.
Ken Stevens living the high life.
Mm-hmm. So we go down, we sit down at the restaurant, and Roz says something to Douglas, like, don't do that. And he turns around and he goes, Jesus Christ, Mom!
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
6 years old.
6 years old.
6 years old.
How did Ken react to that?
Ken, by that time, was...
just in his own world?
Yeah, he was fine with it. You know, what the hell. And then when they were out in the water, I guess the boys, it was Bart and Kyle, who are both 16, and Douglas, who's 6. There was some name-calling. You know, they were playing around in the water. And they came back, and at one point Bart said, hey, Douglas called Kyle a moron. And I laughed because I'm just thinking, Douglas is a sweet kid. He really is. He's,
right.
He's a cute kid. He's good-natured. He's
got a good vocabulary.
Nice as can be, but... you got to know that at school they're not teaching him Jesus Christ and moron.
Right, exactly.
So I said to Frida, well, he's learning...
Overhearing some of Daddy's conversation.
He's learning the language the same way that our son learned the
language. Sure, absolutely.
The same.
Oh, my God.
And that was the funniest. Douglas, don't do that. Jesus Christ, Mom.
Oh, my God.
The kid is 6.
Wow.
The kid is 6.
That's something else.
But it was... listen, a highlight of
our... Did you kind of regret that you had maybe flown into that island and just stayed?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no way we could afford that.
Right.
I mean,
right.
There's no way, but yeah. And at one point, Ken was walking around and showing us these little grottos where he goes to have dinner. And,
oh, really?
You know, it's like... everything that he's doing was what I wanted to be doing. You know, I'm waiting, you know, I got to go back to the ship and wait in line for a half hour to get...
an inch-square pizza.
Yeah, yeah. To get, or my... this is the other thing they had. They call them sandwiches. What it is it's two corners of a piece of bread that has thin as paper, a little piece of ham that's folded over. They put a grape on top, and they put a toothpick through it. And they give you one of these things, and they say, here is your ham sandwich.
Here's your hors d'oeuvre.
Here's your, no, they call it, it's an hors d'oeuvre, but they call it a ham sandwich.
Really?
Yes.
So they really, they economize on the food on these things.
Yeah, they do, but again, if you've got the patience,
right,
to wait in line,
I don't,
for the mass feeding.
Not when it comes to food.
That's
no patience.
That's when you can, you know.
Feed me now. Let me go.
That's why we went on vacation. We gained no weight.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why your wife gained no weight. I mean, Fred and I both, we drank every day.
My wife lost 3 pounds.
We drank every day, my wife included, because we had no responsibility. Our kid was always off doing something.
Right.
All we did was drink all the time. And we came back and we didn't gain any weight.
The SS nose picker alcohol.
Right. Hold on. I got just a little more to tell you. Was it, what, did somebody want to tell me I got ripped off? Okay, here's a bulletin. Tommy. Tommy.
Don.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Hey, listen, this is typical for the Caribbean islands. What happens is the guy that's driving the bus is running a scam on you, and he's got a friend or a relative that's pre-positioned there with his cab or with his car. It happens in the Middle East as well. And they go off and they purposely leave you because, and the other part of this is that the cruise line people are getting a kickback from these folks.
Wow.
Well, I don't know. You know, it could be.
Sounds like it. That sounds plausible,
it
too.
It could be real.
If he slowed down and he was looking at you.
He did.
And he just kept going.
He honked a horn.
And then there was,
yeah.
Was there a cab conveniently right in back there just sort
there
of
was.
Sitting there waiting?
Huh. There was.
And then he lays that line on you about he has to wait for 8 people.
He did.
He did.
I mean, you know, I'm sorry that it happened to you. It happened to me in the Middle East once. And you know, I learned my lesson, but it's a fantastic ad for not going with that cruise company that you went to.
Well, you know, I don't think it was. I don't know if it was the cruise company because, you know, there's like 1,000 ships that pulled in. I think it's a scam that they would pull on just about anybody on any ship that you want. Thank you, my friend.
That's probably true.
All right, thank you. I'll tell you this. I did not appreciate the inch square pieces of pizza, though. That sucked. That was no good. Okay, hold on. Just a little more, and we'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
I'm mad. I am mad enough. And yet still very self-conscious that I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe, and I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't. So what?
They love their mamos, Don and Mike.
Mambo.
Sure do.
Mambo.
Hey, tomorrow on the show, coming in to sing for us again, Greg Brady.
Greg Brady, the most oversexed of all the Bradys.
Yes. Barry Williams.
Isn't he appearing in The Sound of Music?
He sure is.
Can he wear his lederhosen?
He's coming in to hype it up on tomorrow's episode, I think.
Very good.
So he'll be here then. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Hi. Well, what is it, Robbie?
You'll have to ask Greg about being a strike breaker. There was a big article while you were on vacation about how that's not a union show, and they're getting protesters outside every performance.
Really?
Very high.
All right, the controversial.
Yeah.
The controversial. Barry Williams.
And way he's to making read. A lot of money.
He is making a lot. Way to read the fine print, Rob.
Like to see that.
Very good.
Hello.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I just want to let y'all know, when me and my wife went to Bahamas for our honeymoon,
yeah,
the cruise ship director and the person, the manager of the hotel, also warned us of not taking taxi rides or taking tours or anything, because what they do is they take you off, like that last guy said, they take you off and they leave you.
Well, then how, if you don't take a taxi, how would you get from the boat to the beach, which is 20 minutes away?
They usually have shuttle buses.
Never leave the ship, Don.
Mm-hmm.
That's that my motto.
That was my goal.
Never leave the ship.
Oh, listen, I'll tell you, thank you for the call, my friend.
Thank you.
Scared the S out of me when we were in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
Nassau, funky Nassau.
Yeah.
We got off the boat and was just walking down the street,
right,
looking around, and some dude got his. He was carrying a big shoulder bag.
Yeah.
Some guy actually took the bag and ran away with it.
Little purse snatching.
Yeah.
Really?
Right there on the street.
Right in front of you.
Across the street.
Did you chase? Did you try to chase him down and fight crime?
I'd like to tell you that I did.
But now you just you curled it into a ball.
I ran back to the ship. Crying, I ran back to the ship.
Well, at least you didn't do what I do, which is play dead. Yeah. Anytime something like that happens, I'm dead.
I mean, I thought later, that's like a situation where you always picture it. You know, you see a guy who's being ripped off, you do something about it.
Right.
Well, it was across the street from me. And
was it a frail elderly gentleman that got ripped off?
No, it was a guy about Buzz's age.
Oh, really? So it was a frail elderly gentleman that got ripped off.
He wasn't as in shape as Buzz is.
Right.
And the guy just screamed, "Stop! Stop! Hey! I'm being robbed! Stop!
That's your best bet.
Stop. I just,
too many.
Didn't do anything. Didn't do a freaking thing.
Wow.
So, listen, let me get back to you. I'm almost done with the cruise. I cannot put into words this woman from the cruise ship, the woman who sat at the table that we sat at.
Wow, she must have made quite an impression on
you. You know what I'm going to do? Frida's got her email address. I'm going to email her tonight and say, hey, Cindy, really missed you. Well, what have you been up to? And I'll read.
What is your dress size?
I will read what her response is, okay? And plus she had the big. She had the big fat fingers and the big...
Big sausages.
The big fake red...
Well, it was the SS Bob Evans.
The big fake red long fingernails.
Right.
And she had the...
How did she smell?
The hair, like an Aline Cunningham type perfume.
Ah, very, but very strong perfume.
Yeah. She had might have been masking another smell.
Another muskier, deeper, darker smell.
Yeah, down south, they say.
Covering up.
She and her hair was that coffee cake color.
She looked like she showered regularly.
Like frosted. Yeah, I think she showered regularly.
Right.
So she came to the table the first night. This is how, you know, you sit down and say, I'm from Chicago. And right away, Frida says, oh, we used to live in Chicago. My husband used to work at WLS. Oh, I never liked that station. Do you like Q101? I'm like, gee, it's been so long. I'm not familiar with Q101. Do you know Pete Michaels? He works there. Do you know him? Like, no, I'm sorry, I don't know him. We're in the presidential suite.
Oh, really? She was in the presidential house. Like, is that the best room on the ship?
Well, listen to this. As you know, meanwhile, Frida and I are bumping into each other in the morning and we open our closet, okay? I got to hear this bitch tell me. She says, there's a baby grand piano in the foyer.
Oh, my God.
There's a dining room, the butler's pantry, there's the kitchen, two bedrooms, and on our veranda, besides the Chase lounges, there's a hot tub.
Wow.
There's also a hot tub in my marble bathroom.
So she really had the best room on the ship.
Yeah, now, keep in mind, you know,
Frida hated her.
Frida and I, we got the room, you know, you go in seriously to take a crap, and you're half in the shower, and you're half sitting on the toilet. This is how tiny these things
are. Well, it is a boat.
Right. Well, right. I know it is. So we're just kind of absorbing this, and she's telling us about all the amenities that she gets. And
how many people they have on this boat?
2,000.
Oh, my God.
So she's telling us about the incredible stuff that she has. That she's got, and I have the DVD player and the list of the DVDs. Do you have that? You know what I'm saying? No, but we have the movie The Three Kings in German on one of the free channels in our room.
Wow.
And then
did she ever invite you back to her suite?
She invited Frida. I wouldn't go.
Right.
That was one of the nights that I said no, you know, because I knew I'd be too depressed.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to see what this lady had.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, you know you're in trouble. You meet someone within 30 minutes when she has to say, I own a Mercedes. Now,
oh, that's a little much.
Now, listen, I mean, and I said this to Frida when we left dinner that night. I said, I don't care if it's a guy or if it's a girl. If you're sitting down at a table with someone, and within 30 minutes, they got to tell you they have a freaking Mercedes.
Yeah, it's a little pretentious.
It's like, I don't want to be involved right. with this. And and she's got the jewelry and the watches. And, you know,
sure.
and you know, I'm sitting there the whole time just under my breath and, gee, I wonder why he left. I wonder why he left. That's the first thing out of her mouth was that she was a single mom.
Uh-huh.
She was on the cruise with her kids.
Okay.
Her teenage son, Charles, and the little girl. I don't remember her name. She's about six.
Is there a sugar daddy around or anything like
well,
that?
Well, towards the end of the cruise, she did meet a banker.
Ah.
Perfect. A guy who she was holding hands with and came over to the table one night.
Right. So that's why she was probably on the cruise, looking for a little romance.
I believe so.
She was getting her next paycheck.
I believe so.
The evil woman. I don't know why your wife was defending her.
As they left, I said to Frida, I hope he's got a nice bag of flour up in the room. Because he's going to need it. But no, you know, and you know, Frida might be right. She might be the nicest person in the world. It's
right.
just... When you're sitting down with a stranger and you have to eat every night for however many nights we're on this boat, I don't want to hear about...
How come she didn't eat up in her big, suite? How come she ate with the common folk?
Then she couldn't come down and tell us how great it was. You know, and I don't want to hear that someone else is in a room 100 times nicer than my room. And I don't want to hear that you got a freaking baby grand piano. Meanwhile, I take a crap, everybody up and down the hall smells it. I don't want to hear that.
Is that truly a problem? Can you smell other people's poop on the cruise ship?
Yes, you can. When you're on a big ship and you have a small room.
Right.
Yes, you can.
You can smell yours and everybody else's.
You smell everything, you hear everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thin walls?
Absolutely.
The different people with different schedules?
I don't want to hear that. So, you know, enough. But you know what? I will write her an email tonight, and I'll let you know tomorrow if I get a response from her.
Sure.
One night we're at dinner with this lady, and this guy Carlos, who was one of our waiters.
Hello.
And now this is another way. This is another giant scam that these cruise ships have. At the very end, the night before you're going to get off the boat,
you got to light them up.
There's an envelope in your room waiting for you on the bed, and inside the envelope are like 50 envelopes. And they give you a schedule of what you're supposed to pay everybody.
It's astonishing.
Saying, you know, to your maid, you want to give this amount of money every day. To the guy who comes in and puts water in the jug, you want to give him this amount. To the guy at the dinner table who seats you, do you want to pay him this much? To this guy, to the maitre d', you want to pay him this much? To the guy who pours the water at the dinner table, you want to pay him
this
much?
You know, instead of just charging you one fee and you taking care of it, but see, they save money by doing that.
So, anyway, the one guy we did like on this, and we liked a lot of the people who worked on the ship. They're very nice. The one guy we liked was a guy, Carlos. He was Spanish, and he would come over to our table, and he would speak Spanish with Bart.
Right.
And every night, he would come over, and he would say something to Bart, and Bart would say something back. And the two of them, and Kyle, who also speaks Spanish, the three of them, they would laugh their asses off.
That's funny.
And we don't know what they were talking about. So the last night, he comes over, and he says, hey, it's been a pleasure. And I pull out the envelope, and I say, Carlos, hold on. Before I give you this, you got to tell me, what have you and my son and his friend been talking about the whole time? And he says, I would be glad to tell you. There are some prostitutes on the ship. I said, what? He said, no. No need to worry. They are not here to work. They are here on holiday. I told the boys. The boys wanted to see them. I took them over to show them the prostitutes. So I said to him,
that's pretty damn funny.
Will you show me the prostitutes?
Right.
Of course. Come this way. So we go walking around this gigantic dining room.
And he's being legit.
Yeah. Seats 1,000 people. And we stand in the corner. And he goes, to your left, two women, one in a blue dress, the other one in a red dress. They are prostitutes. They are from Madrid, Spain. They are on holiday. They are not working this weekend. They are very high class, very expensive. They are very, very good.
Take a look at them. And I'm looking at them, and they're nice-looking chicks.
Right.
He says, they are prostitutes. I said, no, thank you.
And did you ever get a price?
No.
Did you ever inquire?
No, I didn't. I went back to the table, and Frieda said, what was that about? And I said, I found out what Carlos was telling Bart.
How much do they cost, Carlos?
That they, they're prostitutes on the ship.
Very expensive.
So he was nice, and we got off the boat, the disembarkation, you know, where you go through the CF, and listen, this is going to be the last time that I let them fool me with this crap about don't take any Cuban cigars because you're going to have to go through customs.
Right.
Because, you know, and every time I believe them and every time I don't bring any back,
right.
And this is the third time now that we've been on one of these goddamn cruises where, you know what customs is? You get off the boat and you give them the piece of paper and they say, welcome back to America. See you later. Have a nice trip.
Enjoy yourself.
You know, meanwhile, I could have brought back like 1,000 boxes of Cuban cigars.
Yeah, but it's that one time you get caught.
It's true.
It's that one time they decide to stop you.
Yeah, but they never do.
And it's like 10 years in jail for every cigar.
No, it's not. They take your cigars away.
Life in prison if you have a whole box.
As a matter of fact, I get this is one of the discussions I got to do with the nose pickers one night.
Right.
At dinner. At the table behind us where the lady says, I wouldn't buy any Cuban cigars if I was you. And the other guy says, why not? She says, well, they got dogs at the airport that can sniff them. And I turned around and I said, hi, I've been on a couple of these cruises. And I'll tell you first that they never stop you at customs. And second, you could buy cigars legally, like Dominican cigars that mm-hmm. they were selling on the ship. And you can bring those back to America. I really don't think that they have dogs that can discern between a Cuban cigar and a Dominican cigar.
No, they can't, no.
Well, no, they have highly trained dogs, and they get through all your bags.
And you know she doesn't know what
she's
talking
about.
No,
she doesn't have a freaking clue. She was, you know, she was one of the one-inch pizza people. So I just gave up, and I said, listen, you're safe. Bring back whatever you want. But then I was such a pussy, I didn't do it myself.
Well, you know, you take a chance. You never know. That's the thing. You never know what they're going
to
do.
You got to handle it like I do. I went to a shop where they sold Cuban cigars.
Right.
And I said to the guy, gee, I'd like to buy a box. They're incredibly cheap, so much cheaper than regular cigars.
Right.
I said, but I'm really worried about bringing these back on the ship, even though I never get stopped by customs. The guy says, hey, no problem. I ship them to you.
There you go.
I said, well, how can you do that? He says, I know a guy at customs. I know a guy at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
What's your address? So I give him the address, and I give him the credit card for the stuff.
He wants you to wait for a honk.
Yeah.
Of the horn.
Now, Frieda was very...
Was his brother the cab driver waiting outside?
Frieda was very wary of this.
Right.
Positive that one of two things is going to happen. Either
it's one big scam down there.
Either I'm going to walk out of this place and immediately, you know, Pedro is going to put me in the slammer.
Right.
Or that this guy just took $100 of my money, and I'm never going to, you know, he's going to send me a box of crap in the mail.
Some toilet paper.
Well, as it turns out, though, the guy was on the up and up.
Right.
And sent me the stuff, and I got it. So it's
now
great.
The authorities are coming to your house right now.
Well, you know, they won't find anything. Because I have cigars, but they have no bands on them.
Oh, there you go. Very good.
They have no bands on them, so who knows where they came from.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I am Carlos. Would you like to see the prostitutes?
Oh, shit. We get off the boat. We go through this bull ass that is customs. We get to the airport. We got to wait around to get the plane. Flying out of down by Fort Lauderdale. We get on the plane. Now, listen, we don't spend money when we go on this. You know, my wife is money crazy already. Mm-hmm. So we go on the cheap when we do this. We stay in a crappy room. Everything's on a plan. The only thing that I buy is first class tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're flying and we want to, well, everybody fly first class. That's the only extravagance that I pay for.
Mm-hmm.
We get on this plane, U.S. Air. Nice enough airline. We're sitting up front, first class. I said, finally we got. Now, finally, I feel like that bitch on the boat that had the room with the piano. Finally, look, we're in first class.
Sure.
I say to Frieda, this is really, even though we're paying, this is worth the money. We get a drink now. It's wonderful. The next thing you know, a guy comes on. He's got a dog in a cage. And he wants the dog to be in the seat underneath him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He says, I've given the dog a tranquilizer. It was a poodle. He says, the dog will be very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
The lady says, well, I really don't know. The guy says, please, the dog means a lot to me. She says, fine. as soon, I swear to Jesus, I swear to Phil Hochberg, as soon as the plane takes off, now keep in mind, all the people in coach, they can't hear this. Because they got the plane noise going back there and everything else.
So the tranquilizer's not working.
No. If anything, the tranquilizer has had the opposite effect on the dog.
Wiring the dog.
For over 2.5 hours.
The whole flight.
The dog, Bart, worse than a baby crying.
Right.
Worse than people speaking loudly behind you.
I didn't know they could do that. I didn't know they were allowed. I guess the dog's small enough they can bring him on the plane.
The
right?
dog barked the entire time that we were on the plane.
Did he take the dog out of the cage at all?
No.
Just left it under the seat?
Left it under the seat.
Your seat.
No, it was one row behind us.
God.
But Jesus Christ, you know, I said to Frida, just our luck. Just our luck. Finally, the one thing that we pay for,
right.
and even that gets effed up.
Did the dog smell any Cuban cigars?
No.
No, but the dog had a baby grip.
Yeah, no. So you know what that was? That was just that right there. That yeah. that pretty much epitomizes sure. the entire vacation.
But you had a moderately good time.
Yes, I had a great time with my wife and
right.
with my son and with our friend Kyle. You know, but think about it. What was the highlight? The highlight of the trip was spending time with Ken.
That.
Let that say it.
That is sad.
But
and even he was having a nicer time than you.
That's extremely sad.
Let that speak volumes.
You would have stayed if Ken had invited you.
Oh, God. This place was beautiful. Meanwhile, we had to go back to the gulag. And go back to the broom closet.
And have fun.
While Tammy Faye Baker and her Mercedes got a freaking baby grand piano in her room. Oh, it really made me want to shoot myself right in the head.
Well, it sounds like you had a good vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. That's what we did.
That's a good thing.
You, now, we got
a
break.
My wasn't as good as yours. I usually have a lot to say. I have a celebrity sighting, I believe, but okay. I don't know. It's not official because I'm not 100% sure I saw because I was sort of hustled away. But I have, I, like you, experienced a little fun in the sun, and I consider all vacations, your cruise, when I go to a golf place, I'm pretty much done with doing that because I consider it the greatest ripoff known to mankind.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody wants your money, and you're not getting anything for it. So my advice to everyone, I mean, I'll tell you why, but before we break, I just want to tell everyone, don't go on vacation. It's not worth it. Anywhere. Anywhere where you're required to spend money mm-hmm. at some place that's supposed to be fun?
Yeah.
F them.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We're together on that.
Absolutely.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
All right. Tomorrow, we have Jay Thomas, Catherine Cryer, and Terry McAuliffe, the new head of the Democratic Party. All right. Good, sir. And Bob Dorn.
The effing Christ.
Right.
The John and Mike Show.
Hey, Rob, give me for a second. We just played that tape of someone yelling at our names out on the Bill Maher show.
Yeah, politically incorrect.
We were just listening to the commercials.
Yes.
God, that have been running all week, too. Bill Maher is doing some serious show.
Serious business.
On school violence. He's going to have, like, kids from Columbine on and that
right.
school in San Diego.
Uh-huh.
And the celebrity panel.
Yes.
Let me see if I got them all, Robbie.
Okay.
Danny Bonaduce.
Right.
Oh, God.
Frankie Munoz.
Munoz from Malcolm in the Middle.
Munoz.
Yeah. Right.
Think crap. Annoying.
Who am I forgetting?
Think Annoying and red hair.
Carrot Top.
Kathy Griffin.
Oh, God.
Was there a fourth? There might have been.
My
I
God,
don't know
that's
that
enough
matters.
To cause
that's,
a shooting right there.
That's the ones you want. And they spin it like, see Bill Maher attack the issues as only he can. With Kathy Griffin, Frankie Munoz, Danny Bonaduce.
What's Frankie Munoz doing?
Well, he's a kid.
He's a kid.
Yeah. He's a kid.
He's a stage kid.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Was that flight Saturday morning coming back from Fort Lauderdale?
Yes.
Because I was on it. We were in the fifth row, and we heard that fabulous dog the whole way.
The whole freaking way.
And the stewardess kept coming out and saying she couldn't stand it. It was driving her crazy. It was the little old man whose wife was in the back. They had another dog, you know.
Oh, there was...
They had a second dog, which may have been riding with the wife who was in coach.
Why did they put the dogs in with the luggage?
And those dogs, we were just laughing so hard sitting waiting for the flight because they were barking. They just kept barking. But, you know, we were on a cruise. I don't know if it was the same boat as you, but ours was completely different.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I hate it when I'm cynical, like right from the very beginning. But, you know, I suppose she was
Well, she says when the flight was and where it was from.
Yes, this is true.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike. It's the NCAA guy.
Is this the head shaving guy?
This is the head shaving guy.
Why do you sound so wasted?
I actually just got out of surgery myself.
Well, what happened?
First priority was to call you. I had arthroscopic surgery on my shoulder.
How you feeling? Do you feel sick to your stomach?
No, actually. I'm just, they gave me some Percocet, so I feel pretty funky.
There you go.
Ah, well, listen, make sure it's Percocet, then Vicodin, then meth.
Methadone.
Yes. Methadone.
Right. Methadone and then alcohol.
And then a nice cup of coffee.
Then alcohol, then speed.
Right.
That's the way Matthew Perry does it.
Very good.
You know, actually, I just wanted to thank you guys for allowing me the bet in the first place. It was a lot of fun, and your team almost won.
Yeah, you know, technically, I mean, I don't remember the bet. I remember before we went on vacation that... I know both Mike and I thought that the bet was if one of the teams
made it to the Final Four that you'd come in and shave your head, but then it was pointed out to us that we said two of the four and why we did that bet, but then again, why do I do any bet?
Yeah, well, you know, we had nothing to lose in that bet.
Right. No, you actually didn't, but I tell you what, I told you that it would be the winner between Duke and Maryland. I was right, although Maryland and Arizona were both cheated by the refs, I thought.
Okay, listen, whatever. All I know is that at least give me this. One of the teams that made it to the championship game
was picked
by a baby on this show.
You're absolutely right.
Picked by a baby, a combination of a baby and a dog.
A little baby.
Just goes to show how much brain power it takes to get in these NCAA pools.
Yeah, they could probably pick the 64 teams next year.
And then Duke won anyway.
And yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, you've been spending 2 hours and 15 minutes talking about your busy vacation. I'll bet it would count as a business-related tax deduction.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. You're right off the whole vacation.
For you and your whole family. I mean, you talked about Frida, you talked about the boys.
You can make a case for that, I bet you.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. I was just calling to say that the other person, the guest celebrity on the Bill Mayer politically...
has a cell phone that doesn't work.
Pardon me?
What? That was Howie Mandel.
Yeah, it was Howie Mandel.
Yeah, fresh off his appearance with Kathy Lee on E.
Yeah, that's right. That's E.
E.
And if you're going to have a panel about kids killing themselves in school, I mean, okay, I give you the kid from... Malcolm in the Middle. Okay,
yeah, he's a kid and he's on TV.
Stand-up Danny Bonaduce.
Child star.
Used to be a child star.
Right.
Mm. Kathy Griffin.
Why?
I don't get that. No. But Howie Mandel is the wild card.
Yeah, Howie Mandel. Well, I think Howie Mandel has kids that age. I think that's
probably
what it is with him, yeah.
Hello.
Why do I know that?
Hello, Don Mike Show. Why do you know that?
I don't know.
Why do you know that?
I'm as curious as you are.
Hello. Oh, for the love of Christ. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yes?
I'm so glad you guys are back, man.
Come on, get it together, sir.
Oh, hey, Mike. Oh, man, that's great.
How you doing?
Oh, the crying guy.
Yeah. It's okay, we're back. Come on now.
It was bad, man. It was
come on.
Bad when
I,
you were gone.
Hey, yeah, yes.
Did you bring me that weed?
I did. I told you I would.
All right, yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Great, thanks.
I'm a pleasure to be on the air with you. Yeah, I just came back from Jamaica, so I haven't heard you guys for 5 weeks.
You got back from Jamaica and what?
I haven't heard you guys for 5 weeks, and I'm glad to hear you again.
Oh, did you start talking any slower?
I'm a bad. But last time, I think, Don, next time you should go to hedonism.
Hedonism?
Hedonism. Have you ever heard of that?
That's that place we sent Grace with dirty feet, right?
Yeah, that's with the, you know, pool with stuff floating in it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no, it's a great place.
The pool with love floating.
Yeah, it's like got jizz. My joint has got jizz floating in the pool.
It's a clean pool. Imagine that hot tub. Seriously.
Oh, Jesus.
Imagine
Christ.
The filter in that hot tub, in a hot tub at hedonism.
Don and Mike show.
Good afternoon, Don, Mike, Buzz. How you Buzz doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you know, I've been, it's hard listening to you now because I'm glued to the set listening to the new Survivor Radio 99.5. Don, your take on that?
I'd be glad to give him my
time. Is this the new format for jamming oldies?
Yes.
Yeah, what they're taking away the old school, man.
Here's my take on this. That the format of the station is going to be the same as Z104. They've already decided it. It's going to be the same box of records that Z104 plays. Except they're so stupid that what they're doing is supposedly, and again, you know, this is a prime example of how radio stations think that you guys listening are so freaking stupid. Like, that they're really going to present a new format every hour.
Right.
And then whatever format gets the most votes
on a particular weekend,
that's the format that they're going to go with.
Right.
No.
Not true. They decided because they have to put a lot of money in preparation so they can get it up and running as soon as they're ready to go.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I heard from someone who works that all the stations that Clear Channel owns, they're all roughly within the, like, three or four blocks of each other.
Yeah.
So I heard from someone who works at another station, Oldies 100,
mm-hmm.
that they've got it so pre-programmed and so prefabricated that supposedly they have a... There's a radio station in D.C. that played jamming oldies, and they could get no ratings, so now they're changing the format. So they're coming on the air every hour and saying, we're trying out these new formats, and you pick the one you like, and if you don't like it, mm-hmm. call us up and tell us. I heard from a guy at Oldies 100 that all of the calls that they're putting on the air where they go like, Survivor Radio Feedback, beep. Hey, I wish you would play more Britney Spears, beep.
Yeah, I love it when you play Three Doors Down.
They're all made up.
They're all station employees.
Yeah, of course they are.
They're all people who work for Oldies 100.
Sure.
Who were told last week to call and make these fake calls so they'd have these fake calls ready.
And in their format, which is, you know, could be anything, but they've decided on it already.
No, no, and I know what it is. It's Top 40.
Top 40.
It's Top 40. It's the same crap they play on Z104. And you know, they go through all this bull-ass all week long because they think that people are so stupid that they're going to think that they really have a chance to make a change on this radio.
No, the change was probably determined, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah, two books ago.
Right.
They decided that they were going to dump the Jammin' Oldies format.
Exactly.
It's typical radio, man.
Yeah, and you know, I like Jammin' Oldies. I'm the only one in the country, and I think...
Hey, I like Jammin' Oldies, too, remembering the good old days of Donnie G spinning them over on 95.5.
You know what? And I agree, and that's probably the reason I like... But the problem is, they didn't do it the right way. They did it a horrible way. I like the actual genre of music, but they screwed it up so bad.
Well, they did it like every station does, right. Where they got only 200 records that they played every single day, the same records.
When you could play so many different records. And
right.
They
never played Joe Tex Ain't Gonna Bump No More With No Big Fat Woman.
Right, well, now you're getting a little too specific. But listen, trust me, the whole thing's a scam. It's Top 40. It's going to be the same crap as on Z104.
Right.
Thank you, Dylan.
Exactly.
Good day.
Exactly.
All right, later.
Crap.
Oh, and Z104 canned Rick D's.
How long did that take?
Well, how long was he on? Like 2 months?
If that
a little less, I think. It had to be less than 2 months. Yeah. We were making fun of him about a month. It seems like a month ago.
They are
a month and a half ago.
They are bringing in some new disc jockey from like Birmingham or something like that.
From Japan.
To be the new morning disc jockey.
I heard us doing that when you were talking about Masatoshi Ono. Not too egotistical. Down in Fort Myers, Florida, listening to my own radio station, laughing my ass off.
It's funny,
but I'm sorry.
And it's a repeat on our show.
You know, and for those people that criticize us for taking something and running it into the ground. Wrong, wrong, double wrong. Funny as hell. When we came back in our third break and we were still doing it, at random phone calls we would go into that. And you're a Japanese guy, man. It's strong.
Thank you.
Hello.
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 We had happened.
Hello.
I was laughing. Laura and I are just cruising along, laughing our asses off at that.
Mike is on vacation, but he's listening to the Donnie Mike Show right now in his rental car.
12:48. Yeah, absolutely.
He is listening in Florida. He's thinking, that is a funny, funny show.
It was. I was laughing. We're just going on and on. All sorts of mistakes we're making, you know, about the facts.
Didn't matter.
Fantastic.
Oh, right, when the tires were blowing up.
Yeah,
right,
that's what it was.
Yeah, we're saying the guy's, like, from England and he's from Australia. We're saying Masatoshi Ono, whatever. And it was silly.
Well, now we could do the same thing, you know, if you wanted to.
Right.
Then again. Hello, America. We have your pirates from your airplane.
Our troops will be boarding that spy plane. We'll be taking all of your sensitive equipment for surveillance and bringing it back to China.
Even though your pirates tried to ruin the high-tech spy toys, we have them, silly Americans.
That is correct. We will be taking all of your high-tech toys and bringing them back to China. We will go to see your auntie, okay?
Okay.
There we go.
Time out. Listen, hold it. Yeah, okay. You were in Florida. That's where we're going to start. We'll pick it up with Mike's vacation. We come right back.
Yeah, it includes celebrity sighting, poison food, and the most expensive package of cigarettes I've ever heard of.
Okay, beautiful.
Be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Hey. How about a hug?
Oh. I hate goodbyes.
Now listen to Dolphins of Funk, Don and Mike.
For those of you who don't believe there is a God
yet,
listen to what just happened.
It's pretty good, folks.
Out of the parking lot. They've got one of those, when you pull into the parking lot here at the radio station, they got one of those signs that says low clearance.
Right. It's in a weird location. It always has been. And it goes, it's like at the base of the hill going up, or is it at the top of the hill?
At the top.
It's at the top of the hill.
Over here on the other side of the parking lot. It says low clearance, 7 feet 9 inches.
Right.
Apparently someone, just like moments ago, drove through and clipped it. And the big sign fell and crashed right on Jeremy's car.
Crushed his car.
Oh, man.
Was Jeremy in it?
No, because he's calling his insurance now.
Oh, okay.
So I guess God wasn't smiling on us 100% today.
There you go.
But still.
Hey, welcome back.
That's pretty great.
Man.
Hey, you know, that should be a sign.
It's a sign. It's going to be a nice spring.
It should be a sign for Jeremy.
Right.
About us.
Absolutely.
We're back.
We're back, and your car just got destroyed.
Look at what happened. Your car is wrecked.
Call that insurance company.
So, listen, bring Jeremy in, please, one of you guys, as soon as he's... As soon as he's done crying outside.
Oh, no.
Pounding his hard black shoes with the big belt buckles on them.
And his short pants.
Stomping on his Dutch boy paint hat.
And his black lunchbox. His lunch pail.
His puffy shirt.
His ruffled shirt. And his big fuzzy bow tie.
You've ruined my BMW.
And his sailor's hat.
You've ruined my BMW.
I'll just have to skip to work.
Fancy lad. Hey, how funny is that? Crushed his car.
Yes. Some van driver coming in here.
Boom. All right. Well, listen, while we wait for Jeremy, tell us about your vacation.
Well, I want to first thank my children because this is the first time ever that my wife and I actually went away without our kids. And we came back from our vacation, and they did great. They were very, very hungry. Catherine's 5 and Elizabeth's 3, but they did fantastically. You know, people say that the kids that small, you can't leave them, to their own devices, and they did a fantastic job. Once they ran out of goldfish, though, it was a little tough because we said no cooking.
You mean like the Pepperidge Farm goldfish?
Yeah, the Pepperidge Farm goldfish. They said no cooking and came back. But, can we give them a round of applause?
Yeah,
they did really good. We went away for 4 days, and they did just fantastically on their own, and they didn't take care of the dogs real well, so I was a little upset about that. But they were fine, and it means we can do it again anytime we feel like going away. Way to go, kids.
Yeah.
Really, really happy with that.
Dad's proud of you.
You know, I said this to you before, and I mean it. I don't think I'm ever going on one of these vacations where you go to some place and spend money. I mean, I really don't think that it's... everything's a ripoff. Everything sucks.
Well, you got to spend money to go somewhere.
You have to spend money to fly, but what I'm trying to do is, do like a timeshare or something where you just go to a place and it's not a hotel and it's not, that it's a place that you just stay, that you just rent and you go to regular grocery stores and do... Because I've done my last... Fancy lad vacation, spa, expensive golf course, crap, BSS because it's all just garbage.
BS.
It is total
bull S S is what
bull
you said.
Bull SS.
Okay.
I mean that. I'm tired of the bull SS that you go through when you go to these places, which are not designed really for the vacationer. Not if you're in the continental United States. These big resort places are designed for the conference. Now, it happened again. I told you the last time I went to a fancy place, I had the pampered chef people. Well, this time it was some other group of trucking people that were all there. And, you know, every day...
You hate the trucker.
You know, let me tell you, it's the trucking... It's not... I mean, my father-in-law kind of used to work for this association, but this was another association of independent trucker effers that were out there. And they had, at this place we went to down in Miami, they had every day... First of all, when you come into the hotel, they've got a table that's laid out, and the table has cookies and soft drinks and newspapers and oranges and all this wonderful stuff that they got laying out there for everybody that's walking by in the hotel, and then a big sign that says, for the trucker effers only. And I'm like, you know, you don't flaunt it in front of me. Get them a room where they check in, but no, because they've taken over the hotel, and they're going to have their private parties, and they're going to shut down restaurants so they can have their special private thing. And you know what? I'm looking around at all these people, and I'm saying to myself, these people are all here on somebody else's dime. These are people that are all here having a fantastic time as I suffer, because these people are really enjoying themselves because it's probably free.
Right.
Some company's paying for it, and some company's bringing the whole family down. Meanwhile, I'm slogging through poison food. And, one of the nights we go into this restaurant.
Right. Well, what was the poison food?
It's the only night we eat at the restaurant at this place, because we looked around, and frankly, the restaurant just didn't look like we felt like doing it. We'd rather go off campus and go down to South Beach, man.
Oh.
Go down to the lovely, exciting nightlife of South Beach, which is a different story unto itself. But we had a good time the night we went out there. And there are a million different restaurants. So we didn't want to stay in the one little place with the conferences going on, because we wanted to go and be free. We got tired of that. We said one night we're going to go eat in one of these restaurants. So we go into one of these restaurants, and I got a shopping list, and I'm not even going to mention the name of this place, but it's a very, very exclusive place, and I didn't have the best time I've ever had.
Start with a D?
Yes, it did.
And with an S?
Yeah. No. What were you thinking of?
Denny's?
No.
Well, I know you when you travel.
About a whole golf resort here.
Oh,
but I'm not going to mention their name, Doral. So I go there, and so we go down, and we go into the restaurant, and I order the lobster, because I'm feeling very festive, and it's the only time we're going to eat here. Might as well get the most expensive thing on the menu, right? Very exciting. And my wife orders the same thing, and she never orders the most expensive thing. And so I dive into this, and it's one of those lobster tails that comes from far across the country, because it doesn't have that much flavor. Well, my wife's had flavor, and she said, this is bad. And I'm meanwhile halfway through this piece of lobster, chewing it, going, what do you mean it's bad? It's not bad. It just doesn't taste like normal lobster. It's because it's probably frozen. It doesn't taste enough. I've got this mouth full of it. She goes, it's bad. I said, no, I'm having the same thing you are. It doesn't taste bad. She said, why don't you taste mine? I said, I don't want to taste yours because it's not bad, but if you want, I will taste yours. So I take a fork full of hers, and I put it into my mouth, and a burning ammonia shoots up my nose, makes my eyes water, and I just go, spit it out on the plate. I mean, it is unbelievably bad. I said, Major D, this is the second time.
Why, Burrs?
This is the second time this has happened to my wife. She's got very bad luck when it comes to lobster, because it happens like this. It comes over, and, I really looked forward all day to this meal. And this is, again, though, spending all of this money, and thank God that I make a decent living, that I can go to a nice place, but I've had it, I'm done, I'm not doing it anymore.
But see,
waiter comes walking over and he goes, oh, really? I said, yes, and we put one of the pieces that's not been touched on a little plate and said, if you smell that, you can smell the smell of ammonia. And he goes, hey, well, I'll take them away. And he goes walking away. Now, I think when you're in a restaurant and you get poisonous food that can kill you, that you ought to have some kind of reaction, like maybe just sorry that the food we served you was left out like in a sunlight.
Your room, your meals, come.
I don't expect a comp meal. I don't at all. But what I do expect is to have at least someone come out and say, you know, hey, sorry, the food was poisoned. It didn't happen. It's the way it was. So. At this point, we're stressed out, and we decide, well, no more food. You know, just forget it. We get the bill. They took the entree off the. I didn't want to. You know, when you sometimes you want to make a stink, and other times you're so exasperated because of everything else that had happened at this place, which I haven't even begun to start with yet. We finally walk across, and I say, you know, I'm stressed out. I need a smoke. I need a little cigarette. So I say. Do you have, you know, those cigarettes that I smoke are the super deluxe, wimpy, ultra, 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 ultra light?
Uh-huh.
They're Marlboro ultra light cigarettes that I smoke, okay? So I walk into
those
the
ones in the gold box?
No,
white
I think
and gold?
Yeah, I think they're, silver. What are they, silver and like a green stripe on them or something like that, right? But I don't expect people to carry these, but they, so I walk in, I said, do you sell cigarettes here? Yes, we do. I said, oh, fantastic. So what do you sell? We sell Marlboro Reds and Marlboro Menthols. That's it. I said, oh, all right. Well, how much for the Reds? $8.
For a pack?
$8
wow.
For a pack of cigarettes. At this point, we get up, we leave, never to come back. We were so fed up. But you know what? What kills me about these places is that they're designed to just get as much money from you as they can.
You know? Any consolation to you, you went to a place that was nice and expensive. We went on a real cheap cruise. And
I know.
We had a crappy time, too.
You know, the thing is, it's just, I don't like, you know what it is? I don't like spending money. I really don't. Maybe I've got a bad attitude, but I really think that when you spend money for anything, like you go to a place that's called a spa, and this is just one more thing that happened. I go in there, the only thing I require, if I'm going to go and somebody's going to give me a massage, which I really don't like, I've gotten probably three at a vacation place in my whole life. I tried it this time because it was so world renowned that it's the most incredible one in the world. And so the only requisite we have, I said, just make sure it's not a guy. I don't want some guy squeezing my buttocks. I don't enjoy that. It's not homophobia. I don't relax when there's like some guy named, you know, Luigi that's massaging my right buttock. So what they did was they managed to get a woman who resembled a man, which, you know, I think they probably, that's what
really,
they were
really, was she on vacation from WJFK?
I don't know. She was standing outside, and she said, Hi,
how are you? Are you Mr. O'Mara?
I said, yeah. So I shake your hand, and you know the kind of handshake? I knew it wasn't going to go well. This is a person who is supposed to rub on people for a living, and I shook her hand, and you know the kind of handshake where it's, the person is technically shaking your hand, but it's more of a brush with the fingers because the hand is pulled away so quickly. I was disturbed at that. And so as I get ready to prepare myself to walk down, and I'm wearing this stupid, goofy-ass robe with all these other guys in stupid, goofy-ass robes. I am completely miserable before this woman has even laid her hands on me. And I've got 50 minutes with this broad for my deluxe lesbian massage that I'm going to get.
I think we have a tape of her.
All right, let's listen.
Was this your masseuse?
Way down upon the Hubbard River.
Prettier.
Far
Mad Dog's prettier? Much prettier.
Well, I've got
significantly prettier.
Every nook and cranny.
Right.
Pants are wet all day.
Yeah. There was no singing that went on. But even through all this, I said, well, you know, give this woman the benefit of the doubt. She didn't really technically shake my hand. And then she says, did you want Swedish?
Oh,
or the,
hey, no, hey,
it's a form of
you want Swedish. You know what that is?
Well, that's what I asked for.
That's from belly button to kneecap.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Or do you want deep tissue? And I said, well, you know, I've got sore muscles, and I asked for Swedish, and she said, you probably should have gotten deep tissue. That's people always make that mistake. And I'm like, okay, F you. You know, I already paid for the hour. So we go in, and the first 15 minutes...
So a Swedish massage is not a code for manual relief?
No, absolutely not. She didn't come within 17 miles of my genitals. And in those type of environments, they don't anyway. But at least I want to get somebody who's going to, you know, rub on you a little bit. Well, the first 10 minutes, and we're talking about a 15-minute massage here, so 10 minutes is a significant amount of time. She takes her fingers, right? She takes her fingers, and she's got kind of a New York accent, and she has a little odor, and she takes her two fingers.
Is it
like
vaginal?
I'm not, you know what? I couldn't place it. but it was like it was some sort of sports odor. Like, I almost, like, when I smelled it, the odor was almost like I thought that maybe it was coming off of someone else that had been rubbed on.
Okay.
All right? Yeah.
So I just getting a second-hand odor.
Yeah, but they got the music back, and the music's like... And she takes her two fingers. She takes two fingers on this hand, two fingers on this hand, and she puts it behind my head right here, and then she just presses, and she leaves them there. Now, I don't know whether in, like, massage school this is designed to be some sort of pressure point, but after about, you know, 5 minutes of it, I'm like, what the F is going on here? And then she slowly moves it down the neck and just continues to press. Well, that, to me, is not a massage.
That's not a massage.
That's like some pressure point crap. Save that for, you know, somebody you're trying to rehabilitate, because I don't want it. And the thing ends with this conversation on how she spends... 20 minutes, the last 20 minutes when I made the foolish mistake of opening my mouth and saying, are we almost done? No, that was her license to spend 20 minutes on how she hates the game of golf and how horrible the game of golf is. We're at a golf resort, and she's going on about, I don't know, yeah, I like it. It's shocker. She likes softball. Okay, so she gets done. And the only thing about this, I canceled. I had like three of these scheduled. I canceled the rest of them. So I say, but that was the first one.
Good for you.
I canceled them. My wife went down, didn't have that good a time either. Canceled them. So we saved about, you know, a gazillion dollars doing all this stuff. And we canceled everything, and we ended up spending very little time in the resort, and we just went out on our own and had a pretty good time being away from this place. But this place was just nasty. I mean, $8 poison food, $8 pack of cigarettes, terrible massage, and it just sucked. The whole thing sucked.
You get a better Swedish massage, you get run over by a Volvo.
But the thing is, you know,
driven by a member of ABBA.
ABBA, Group ABBA. But the thing is, the one nice thing about this place is that the last day, we were going to be close to the airport. We were going to be very, very close to the airport. Now, when you've heard about the reputation that Miami International Airport has, I was always wondering how, you know, I realized these were foreign tourists, but, you know, at most airports, the signage is very clear. You can get to your rental car, you can drop it off, and you were wondering why these tourists were murdered. I found out why.
Why?
I found out why because we had a flight that was going to leave at 7:30 in the morning. And so I said, we're 5 miles from the airport. If we leave at 6:15, we'll be fine. We'll get to the airport at about 6:25, and we will be 100% fine. I will drop you off, Laura, and then I will go return the rental car. You'll get somebody to help with the bags, and we will be set. So we get to the airport, and as we pull in, I estimated there were probably 13 or 14 lanes of traffic at Miami International Airport solidly stopped. I'm talking cabs, cars, tour buses, buses, trucks, everything. It is a parking lot, and this is a huge airport, and it's becoming evident to me that I don't know if we're even going to be able to make it to the drop-off point, but we do.
You might have had to pull a Scott Shannon with that rental car.
You know what? I swear to God, that thing you used to tell me about Scott Shannon was in my mind, but, you know, you got to be goody-two-shoes, got to take the rental car back. By the time we got to the airport, we pulled up off the exit at probably 6:25, and it was probably 5 of 7 before I got the rental car back to the airport place. But the problem was, when you leave the airport, you know, you see rental car return. Then I drop my wife off, and I got to do that thing where you kind of double back, and there are no signs. And the traffic, they're just 8 lanes. This is 6:30 in the morning, and I'm starting to have a minor panic attack, and the car just going, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. I have no idea where I'm going. Help me. So I get up next to this shuttle driver who's driving for another rental car company, and I say, can you tell me where the Avis rental car place is? I have to drop the car off. And the guy looks at me, and, you know, he's got one of those things like Michael Jackson has, where he's got the vitiligo.
Right.
And he looks at me, and he kind of goes, and he drives forward. I don't know if he's mad because of his skin condition or what the hell it is.
To Miami.
But so I finally come up on a cab, and your odds of really finding a cab driver who is going to be helpful are minuscule. But I get one guy who is coming in the other lane, and I say, excuse me, Avis rental car return. Avis rental car return. And the guy does one of these. He circles his hand like this, which is telling me, U-turn. And what's telling me really is, seriously, I'm about to make the most lethal U-turn I've ever made in my life. You know when you have the concrete pillars, the little Jersey walls
that
have the little break, authorized vehicle only, and you've got four lanes of traffic coming 65 to 70 miles an hour with no real break. The only way I'm going to make this U-turn, and I've got a line of cars now because there's no turn lane. It's not like I can get over to the left. I'm in the fast lane going in one direction, but I'm not, you know, I'm not going to get into some place where I don't know where I'm going. So I have these cars, and I go, honk for cash.
Honk for cash.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, you could not believe this. And I finally get a break, and I take that rental car, and I spin those wheels. Come out. I did not crash, but I made it back. And so I'm like, you did it. And I'm driving back, and he said, make the U-turn. And then I'm like, I made the U-turn, but he didn't tell me anything else. I still have no effing idea where I'm going. I do not know where I'm going at all. There are no signs at all. Finally, I see rental car return. And I'm coming up on this, like, rental car return. Signs, I'm going to be set. I'm going to get there. This is going to be fantastic. There we go. I get closer, rental car return. I see rental car return. Underneath it, it says dollar budget with an arrow. No other sign. So I take a right-hand turn, and I just say, okay, I'll go down to the dollar thing. I'll go down to the budget thing. I go down maybe half a mile. I still see no rental car places at all. And then I see rental car return with another arrow, and I come back around the other way, and I see the dollar place, and I see a guy at the dollar place who's, you know, the in the little security kiosk.
Right, the
cubicle. He's the guy that checks out your car.
Right.
And I walk up to him. Now, he works there, okay? He's in a security car. He works for the rental car company, okay? He is.
Right.
He lives and is employed in Miami for a rental car company. I roll down the window. I say, excuse me, do you know where the Avis drop-off is? And he looks at me and he says, no, I don't, sir. Ever. It's 7:05. I have my plane leaves at 7:30. I am starting to have a heart attack. Laura's at the airport. I go to the next place, the budget that was on the side. Right. I see the guy at budget. At this point, the guy looks at me. I said, do you know where Avis drop-off is? And, you know, not a lot of verbal communication. He points, just keep going. Keep going. And suddenly, like, you hear the heavens going, I pull into the Avis thing, and I was wrong about the time, because at the time when the guy told me where to go, it was 7:05. So it's 7 o'clock, and I'm pulling in, and I'm like, there are odds that this is going to be okay. So I pull it into the rental car return. There are 14 cars in front of me.
Ooh.
Do you know how many guys? You know the little guy that has the little box where he checks you out?
Right.
Do you know how many they've decided to employ for the 14 cars?
How many?
Well, in Miami terminology, uno. One guy. One effer that is going at a snail's pace. And I am estimating that between the shuttle bus and this guy, I will probably get on the plane at 8:45 if I'm lucky. So the guy comes walking back, and I see him, and I say, excuse me, sir. I know I'm car number 14, but I have a 7:30 flight, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And he goes, and a lady comes out, and this woman who is this vision of loveliness. She's this 80-year-old woman that's working for Avis Rent-A-Car. She actually goes back to my car. She says, get in. I said, why? She said, I take you to the airport. And suddenly this calmness settled in over me, where they took an employee there and had her drive me to the airport, and I was looking at her, and she was about 65 or 70 or so. I don't know. She was very old, but she was very kind, and it was a moment where I just was completely relaxed. And I got back, and she gets me, and she says, there's another driver at the airport. I said, oh, there is another. I almost had the accent myself. There, you better believe it. I almost had a heart attack going to the airport. She gets me to the airline, and just about this time, it's about 7:05. I see, and it's actually 7:10. I see Laura, and we do the mad dash, you know, the OJ through the airport thing,
right,
where we're sprinting down there, and we sprint down, and when we finally get there, you know, as soon as you're if you're in line for gate check, I think you're going to be on the airplane. So I relax, because there's a very long line for the United ticket counter, and as I look at the ticket counter, I see there are three ladies on the Los Angeles flight that are checking people in, and that flight left at 7 o'clock. So there are three women who are really doing nothing. And I've always been told that if you have, you know, an extra gate that's open, you could go down and you can check in for the flight. It's our little trick. I think some of us have done that when we travel before.
Right.
So I get in line, and I said, well, I'm going to get out of this line and go up there. I said, if they let us check in, we'll be no problem. So there are about seven or eight people, and I walk up, and this lady's at the counter, and she says, I said, I'm going to check in for this flight. She says, why aren't you waiting in line? Now, she could have said a million different things to me, but unfortunately, at that moment, with the heart rate that was still accelerated, the question, why aren't you waiting in line, I was unable to satisfactorily answer. I could not give her the proper answer to say, why am I not waiting in line? Well, I mean, because, so here's what I said to her. This is in my infinite stupidity. This is what I said. Well, I noticed that sometimes a friend of mine, I'm like making it up, a friend of mine said that many times when there's an empty counter, even though it's not your flight, you can check in. And she says, it is not fair. And I said, I know it's not fair. I can't do that. You have to wait in line with everybody else. And at this time, Laura's in back of me because she said, oh, I shouldn't have done it in the first place. She's going, I told you.
So you didn't have Laura wait in line on the other line? She followed you over to that line?
She followed me over, but I mean, we were at the back of the line of 14 people. So, you know, at this point, I under my breath, I said, bitch. Because, you know, I swear to God, I knew that eventually she was going to come into my life somewhere, so I didn't want her to hear it. We get back in line, we go through this line, and sure enough, there are three. By this time, my friend who has said, it's not fair, this big fat woman says, it's not fair. And I'm sitting in line and I'm looking because she has joined the other two people at my gate check-in. So I am watching and I'm trying to figure out what the timing is going to be. And of course, it was predetermined.
You're trying to get her.
It's predetermined that, you know, and I don't have a seat assignment, okay? And the flight is overbooked. So this woman is right now probably the most powerful human in my life. And if she wants to really me, she can, but because she didn't hear me, and I'm like, okay, and I walked away. I wasn't happy, but I didn't do the confrontation thing, and sure enough, we get up, and I get her, and I walk in, she said, and, you know, like she hasn't seen me before, she says, good morning. And, you know, at this point, I just want to go, F you! But I sit there and I tell you, I said, good morning. And I managed to, like, curl this smile on it. And by this time, it's probably 7:25. We waited through. And she checks me in. She gets the whole thing. We get the seat assignment. I walk away. Bonus party. And that's when they make the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we have some bad news. The crew, this is the new thing in airports, too. We don't have a crew for the plane currently. They're coming in on another flight. Our plane is now scheduled to depart at 8:20. Thank you very much.
And then it wasn't the crew. You know what it was?
What?
It was a school group of like 300 students that were going, well, not 300. That would fill the plane, wouldn't it? It seemed like that. It was about 50 kids that they were waiting on to get off another plane coming in from God knows where. But I have no idea where it was from, but it was not an English-speaking group. And so they came in and they get off my plane. And by that time, we left Miami for our 7:30 departure at approximately 9 a.m. 9 a.m. for our lovely little flight. And that's my little airline story.
There you go.
I stopped hyperventilating. So the moral of the story is, be very careful if you rent a car from Miami International Airport, because when you return it, might not be that easy to figure out where you're going.
But it wasn't really a problem because your plane was delayed.
The plane was well. I could have walked to the airport the way it turned out, but I didn't find that out until, you know, the woman who said that's no fair with the tiny little tiny minuscule piece of snot in her right nostril that I didn't tell her about. Okay, I wanted to reach up and get it with my pinky finger.
Last thing, who was the celebrity? You didn't tell us the celebrity.
Because it really didn't count because I didn't stick around to see. But
who
I
was it?
Gloria Estefan was at a restaurant, I believe, because I saw, you know, that guy that's always with her, her producer?
Her husband.
The guy that founded Miami Sound Machine.
Right.
Was walking out, and they had a big party, and I couldn't see Gloria, so technically I think she was in the restaurant, but it was a wimpy celebrity.
Yeah, that's no good.
But I stood out, you know, outside in the hallway, and went, Gloria! Viva Gloria!
That's right. They give away the money now.
I bet you a shrimp cocktail.
With the secret sound, including...
Where is Avis Rent-A-Car?
the brand new clue that I gave you last time.
I have lost. I will send you an $8 pack of cigarettes.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Be 100th caller right now. You got a shot.
My lobster is poisoned.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
What brings you here?
I heard about your trouble with Batu. Thought I'd come to lend a hand.
Thank you, my son.
He's fought you. He's my own student.
The five city monks, they've all been killed. It was Batu and his gang.
Where's Batu now?
Well, I'm not really sure. What do we do?
As for Batu, deal with him as you think fit.
How about you, Don and Mike? Number five.
Oh, God. Let's play a different one.
You'll laugh until your nipples bleed.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
More like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's for caller number 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I am the 100th caller.
Yes, you are. Thank you for listening. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Sheldon.
Sheldon, where are you from?
I'm from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Sheldon, you won the Sopranos prize back. Sopranos, new episode Sunday night at 9 on the HBO. But wait, there's more. You've also won grand prize Blockbuster, the 52-week free rental car. That's a free DVD every week for a whole year.
Okay.
Don't forget to watch favorite stars and movies and music on the Blockbuster Entertainment Awards Wednesday, April 11th on... Now, are you ready to go for $500?
I'm ready.
All right. Here's the cue. The clue. Excuse me. The clue. What are you doing, Mike?
I'm having an aneurysm is what I'm having.
All right,
I can't stand people walking by the window at this radio station.
The clue is that it's a sound that you would have heard. You were listening earlier. I was talking about our great vacation on the cruise ship, the SS Bob Evans.
Right.
It is a sound that you would have heard Stop it, Mike. At about midnight, okay?
Okay.
That's the clue. You get it, you win $500. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Barry Manilow.
We wish you Godspeed. Oh, hold on a second. I'll give you a free listen. Hold on.
Caller, name this sound.
Yeah, they're out of order. There you go. There you go. There. Well, you got a free listen. On the house. No charge. If we give away the money, it's courtesy Main Street Title.
You know I can't smile without you.
Yes.
Yes.
The G stands alone on that one.
Yeah, sorry about that.
For $500, give us, what's the sound?
A camera shutter.
No.
Oh.
Sorry, that's not it.
Okay.
You're goddamn close.
Though. I know.
You're goddamn close.
All right.
Did you hear the guess, Rob?
I did, but it's not right.
A camera shutter. Not right.
Jeremy's cell phone.
Gotcha.
All right, thank you. Don't forget that every guess is a clue.
Who for you.
I'm writing down my guess now.
All right.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for listening. Hold on a second. Hold on. All right, what's your guess, Mike? That is incorrect.
Oh, come on.
That's incorrect.
God.
Now, listen, how funny is this? Jeremy Coleman.
His car was crushed.
he's kind of still our boss.
Yeah.
You know, he's the boss up at NEW. Where we're going to be later this week. And he used to be the boss here at JFK.
Right.
Is that something else you didn't know, Buzz?
No, I didn't. We're going to New York this week.
Jesus, somebody tell Buzz what's going on.
I'll start packing.
Would someone please tell Buzz?
Buzz, really? We're going up to New York Thursday and Friday.
Really, you didn't tell him? You really didn't tell him?
I thought we had discussed this on the air, but I will take it on myself personally, Buzz. Now, the moment I hear anything, I'll run to you. Whether or not it's been said.
I'm going to jump in here. Buzz, Thursday night, we're all going out to dinner together.
All right.
And Friday, I've made dinner lunch reservations.
Ah, sure. Very good. Okay.
That is the second time on today's show that I've said something, and Buzz has looked up quizzically and grabbed his pen as if I better write that down.
I didn't know.
Buzz, I'm sorry. I assumed you knew because I thought it was mentioned on the show.
We mentioned before we went on vacation that we were going to start going to New York again after our vacation, but no, I never heard about a date.
Well, I will not let this happen again. We are going to Reno on the 27th.
Got it.
Okay, good. And that's all...
We're not.
No? Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Yeah, then we go over the mountain. How are we making it over the mountain? By, are we going to go by covered wagon again?
Saturday morning, we will go to Reno.
Okay.
That's right. And Friday night in Sacramento.
There's a shuttle, and they have to wait for a full car, and then they'll go.
All right, well, listen. Anyway, listen. The funny thing here is that Jeremy Coleman, the gerbil, like a giant piece of metal fell and crushed his car today.
So did he have his car on the upper deck, and then the thing fell?
An upper decker.
And fell forward?
I understand that he was parked either on the incline or at the base of the incline, which is illegal.
That is a fire lane.
Yes, it is.
It certainly is.
There it is.
Drop some metal on Jeremy.
Well,
We're sorry. Call could not go through.
Your call could not go through. Well, has he left the building in his damaged vehicle?
Yes. No, wait a minute. God damn it.
Phones are working. So he's parked on that little, like, squeeze everybody else outside.
Right.
All right.
Still his car. Got crashed.
That's his car.
He's got a tiny little European
the number
car.
Or code you've dialed is incorrect.
Oh, please.
Check the number or code and try again.
Kiss my ass.
Come on.
Kiss my ass.
What the hell is wrong with people?
Well, you would have to hit that thing pretty hard, I would imagine, to bring it down.
Well, it's been up for years.
Really?
It's that thing that says caution. Don't have your vehicle over...
Yeah, it's designed...
7 feet, six inches.
The number or code you've dialed is incorrect.
It's designed for people that don't, so they don't go into the garage.
Would somebody please double check this number that y'all gave me? For Jeremy Coleman's car.
He was looking very happy today. I saw him in the hallway. Oh. We actually had one of our rare pleasant exchanges. You know, I was like, hey, how you doing, Jeremy? We're coming up to New York. And, he gave me the false, oh, wonderful.
You see his puka shells?
Yeah. You see his hair?
He's
freshly tinted.
He has streaked his hair again.
Yeah. Mm.
He's
really, really blonde up on top.
He's like coffee cake hair. Like the bitch on the cruise ad.
There you go.
That's what he's got.
Only like he could fit in one of her fingers.
Yeah, absolutely.
He could be on one of her hands. He could be the weight of one of her hands.
I had a meeting with him today, and I want to tell you something. He has got the most dove-like hands.
Yes.
I have ever seen.
Marvelous.
Yep, we had the wrong number.
He has hands that are designed only for soaking in dishwashing liquid. He has Madge hands. Only if Madge was a young woman.
He has Haley Joel Osment hands.
Right.
Yeah, you know, the little kid that was in the...
Sure, absolutely.
Sense.
He's got Joan Allen hands.
The woman from The Contender?
Yeah.
I bet she has bigger man hands than he does.
She probably does. Dove-like. I'm trying to think of like
the little girl in the Pepsi commercials with the curly hair.
that's the direction you have to go. You have to go younger.
Hello.
Jay.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. I just thank the Lord that I was not in the car at the time.
We understand that a large girder fell on your automobile today.
It was, Yeah, apparently so.
How extensive was the damage? You say you weren't in it. Would you have been injured if you were in the car?
That thing is extremely heavy. I don't know exactly what
was. What is that sound? What was that sound, Jeremy?
Sorry? You're listening to me. What?
Well, we just heard like a beep, beep, beep.
Oh, that's my car.
Oh.
Oh, that's your car.
So you are able to drive it?
Yeah, it is actually. It's now drivable. I am impressed. But Lydia's right about German engineering. That car took a hit.
Where is
still seems to chug along fine.
Where is the majority of the damage to the car?
On the roof.
On the roof?
Yeah, basically that big metal thing landed on the roof. and put a big, big, big dent in the roof.
Oh, if you had been in the car, could you have sustained an injury, a head injury? Maybe fatal?
I believe that, yes, I would have.
Oh, man, wow.
Did it break your sunroof?
No, it luckily it hit the back part of the car, which is why it's drivable. It didn't hit the sunroof, and it didn't smash any of the windows.
So when you came out to view the damage, the big, giant metal girder was resting on your car?
No, it had glanced off the car and bent down and was landing on the and was actually laying on the driveway.
Oh my God! Was there with the person responsible for the damage? Were they handy?
Yes, and they were suitably upset.
Ah, good.
How were you notified by this? You didn't just walk out and see it, did you?
Who told you that your car had been crushed?
And were they laughing?
Right. I was in Alan's office having a big important meeting, and there's a knock at the door, and it's Jim McClure and Bobby are both standing at the door with this ashen expression on their collective face. And Bobby just grabbed me by the arm, and she couldn't even speak, and she just made me walk with her.
Oh, no, man.
And I'm like, all right, what is it this time? But then we start walking towards my car, and that was when I figured something was up.
Oh, something horrible had happened.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I must say, it's nice of you guys to care. I appreciate it.
Well, we do. We certainly don't think it's funny.
What was your reaction when you went to the parking lot and saw the giant girder had crushed your car?
You know what my honest reaction was? Because I parked there all the time. It's under that thing. And I looked up at it this morning, and I'm like, you know, my luck, a bird's going to sit up there on that thing, and I'm going to come out, and my car is going to be, you know,
now, do you even keep your car up in the city?
No, I leave it here.
So, see, this won't inconvenience you at all, will it?
No, not at all, because I don't have to get it fixed for like a month.
There you go.
All right. Well, as long as you're safe, Jeremy, that's all we care about.
I appreciate that. Safety first, the Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara show.
Absolutely. We care about your safety. Your safety is our number one concern.
All right.
See you Thursday, right?
See you then.
Cool. All right.
Goodbye. Hey, Jeremy.
Yes, sir.
While we have you on the line, do you think maybe you put out like a gift basket or something like that when we come up? We haven't been up to New York in a while. Maybe a nice little something to greet us, like when we get up there, make us feel all warm and fuzzy about New York. Now we have out our share.
I like to take care of you like that.
There you go. Thank you.
Cool.
I like to get your creative juices flowing.
I will work on something.
All right. Goodbye.
See ya.
Listen, last thing. Who do you think really, seriously, has bigger hands? You or Haley Joel Osment?
I don't know who that is.
The kid from The Sixth Sense.
Oh, me.
You.
Okay. Yeah. Way to keep up on current events, Jeremy.
Thank you.
All right. What about you or the girl in the Pepsi commercials?
I don't like the way this line of questioning's gone at all.
I was just commenting in our meeting today. I couldn't help but notice how tiny your hands are. You have very small hands. Now, don't do that fake I'm getting cell phone interference thing on me.
I know. I'm actually speechless. I have perfectly cool, huge, manly hands.
Who has larger hands, you or Woody from Toy Story?
I've got to go. My whiplash is kicking in.
Is there any juice in the rumor that you are the third Olsen twin?
See you Thursday.
All right, see you then.
Bye, Jeremy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he is, Jeremy Coleman. His automobile crushed by a girder today here at the Spasian.
Wow. Seems to be quite chipper.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't use his car up in New York. Yeah.
Of course not.
He rides around on those horse carriages.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Link, the Don and Mike Show.
And that night was my son's birthday party. My wife invites the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
I know.
You like Fremen Glaze?
Hey, you bless it, I'll eat it.
She's not coming.
Oh,
Grandma just called. Started crying and hung up.
She needs a purpose in life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think.
So what, no f***ing DD now?
Hey! We're here with AJ, Robert Eiler, who did the greatest thing last year by saying, well, you gotta say it for me.
Oh, come on, I did it once, that's it.
Oh, come on, one more.
No, because then and next year you'll want another one.
Absolutely.
And another one, I don't have it in me.
Gotta say it.
I can say something else is f***ing it.
I like that. I'll bet you never listen to the f***ing Don and Mike show.
You never listen to the f***ing Don and Mike show.
But you can listen to him on f***ing N.E.W. every night.
You can listen to the f***ing N.E.W. every night.
Thanks so much for your time.
All right, thank you.
From the makers of Crouching Speedwack, Hidden Broyhill, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Right. That's our Captain Kangaroo right there.
Right. Tomorrow on the show, Charlie Stossel paying off his bet.
Yes.
He predicted that Tom Hanks would win the Oscar. Of course, Russell Crowe won the Oscar.
Yes. Isn't this the second time you've given Charlie a pie?
Yeah. And I think I had an email from him over the weekend. I think he thinks we bet $100 too.
Yeah, I think there was. You know, yeah. We can go back. We can check all that stuff.
It could have been also tomorrow. Barry Williams,
Barry from The Sound of Music.
And now that we're all caught up on our vacations and stuff, and I'm sitting here going, we got one break before the news,
right?
We're not going to have time to do this Pray for Bob Hope's story justice.
Bob Hope, who's fading fast and has been for the last 20 years.
We're not going to have time to do justice to George Bush's Nazi ties.
Mm. Fascinated by that story.
We'll have to do that on tomorrow's episode. We definitely don't have time today to get into the actual script of the day the clown cried.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis's attempt to do a comedy about a concentration camp.
Yeah, we got to do that tomorrow. I do think, though, I do have time to get into this. It's the article from Radio and Records, the Disc Jockey magazine.
Oh, good. Yeah, this is fresh off. We had crap practice last night, so I'm going to listen to you very carefully as you read this story.
Let me point out that for those of you who don't know, for years, Mike and I have goofed on disc jockeys, especially this one disc jockey, Jack Diamond.
Yes.
Disc jockeys who have bands.
Right.
Now, say to Mike's credit.
Yes.
That this is just a band that up to this point.
Right.
You've said you've gotten together for fun and you're going to play at your golf club and that's about it.
Yeah, no, we've got tremendous expectations now. We are going to go, we're going to hit the road before the end of the summer.
Good. Okay, well.
So go ahead, so lay it all on me. I want to get that out. We've got high designs on crap. Crap is still crappy, but crap is going to be out there.
When he was 8 years old,
oh, no.
Jack Diamond took guitar lessons. But, as he recalls,
the guitar was much too big. And I was much too small.
Yeah, thank you.
Such was the extent of his music background.
That never changed since then.
Fast forward to 1991. We see WRQX Washington's Morning Talent at a station-sponsored picnic, where band members call him on stage to perform with them.
I said I don't play or sing. They said I was perfect.
Well, unplug your guitar.
Recalls Diamond.
Listeners were enthusiastic. I figured this would be a good promotional vehicle for my morning show.
Now, keep in mind, I'm reading this out of a trade sheet, okay? So
right.
This is an inside radio publication.
Sure.
The experience led him to join the band and stay with them for several years.
Yeah, man.
Coincidentally, the group was called Diamond Alley, but they had nothing to do with me.
Welcome to the alley.
They're truly great performers.
In 1996, Jack Diamond and Diamond Alley lead guitarist Jim Steed left the band. With Diamond's wife, Lisa, and several other members, they formed what rhythm guitarist singer Diamond calls an honest-to-God band. The band is called The Jack Diamond.
That is the name of the band?
The Jack Diamond.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know, for those of you doing the Jack Diamond personal life timeline here.
Yes.
1996, it says, with Diamond's wife, Lisa, and several other members, they formed this new band.
Wait, isn't that about the time he dumped his wife?
No, in 1996.
No, he was still with his
wife. Yeah, he just dumped his wife last year.
That's right.
So, you know, if they want to be accurate on R&R, they should write that in 1996, this girl wasn't his wife.
Right.
This girl was just the girl in the band who eventually
exactly.
He would leave his wife and kids for.
In 1996, now that I have my facts straight, he was married to another woman.
Yes, Pam.
Yes, Pam, Don.
Okay, so here we go.
It's an honest-to-God band called the Jack Diamond. It's not a novelty band,
he says.
We play cover versions of the song's mix plays, as well as quite a number of original songs. Lisa has a great voice, and we kick ass whenever we do anything by Sheryl Crow, Melissa Etheridge, or Alanis Morissette.
While he has an affinity for classic rock, Diamond says,
we do justice to Matchbox 20, Third Eye Blind, and Vertical Horizon. Think of the promotional value of having your morning personality on stage playing your station's music and bantering with the crowd about station events. It's an amazingly powerful tool.
I think the only powerful tool is Jack Diamond, to be honest.
He's a very powerful tool.
Candidly rating himself as a musician, Diamond says,
it's a damned good thing I play with a band. I'm okay with what I do, but I don't consider myself to be a musician of the quality we play on mix. However,
isn't that nice of him? What modesty he's got there.
However, if you have the passion, it's pretty easy to pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if you got the passion, it's pretty easy to be Matchbox 20.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I'm not of their caliber. Not the people, not the recording artists that I play on my radio station.
Okay, now we're going to get to the good part.
All right.
There was a time when the trio became, in Diamond's words, too popular. They played every Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. But he says, that wasn't terribly intrusive on the morning show because Lisa and I live less than one half mile from the venue.
I like to point out, Dan, it's not here. I'm pretty sure the venue is like an Applebee's or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, that's the only venues you can get.
Now,
trust me.
All right, now here's when you get to the out and out lying
part. Okay. This was supposed to be a 4-week engagement, but it wound up lasting 2 years. Our band played every Friday and Saturday night. We've played in front of 40,000 people.
What? And we've
opened... is this where he's talking about the concert?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We've opened for the Elton John, for people like Elton John and the Moody Blues.
Lie.
Rob, now please
let's get the facts straight here.
Rob was at the Moody Blues concert that Jack Diamond supposedly opened for.
Here's how he opened. I mean, I heard in advance by some people that he was going to be opening. I was looking forward to this.
I remember this when you said this.
And we got there, and the stage was bare, and I heard a little something. It was at Meriwether Post, I think. So I walked all the way outside of the pavilion to the side where they have, like, the beer cart. And there was like maybe a 12 by 15 foot platform, and his band is up there, and that's him opening for the Moody Blues. And according to my stepfather, who was a professional musician, Jack's guitar may or may not have been plugged in.
I would say if you're performing,
we saw.
If you're performing at a beer tent,
right.
Outside
right.
The arena,
mm-hmm. The same.
That doesn't count as opening.
No, you're lying, and you can't. You know, you shouldn't be allowed to lie about stuff like that. And he lied on the air about it.
Yeah, he
when
did.
He said they were opening. That's
open.
BS. He was lucky enough to get this set up next to the beer cart.
Hey, I'd like some verification on this. Played in front of 40,000 people. What is that? Is that total over the last
four years?
Yes,
I mean, really,
at Applebee's?
A concert, what would be, you know, the total there?
40,000,
I mean,
at Meriwether, that's only like, I think, 10,000.
But he wants to make it sound like he's been on stage in front of 40,000
people. You know who gets 40,000 people? You too, when they play RFK.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
That's who gets 40,000.
He wants to sound like he's done a stadium gig.
Okay, now here we go. The article continues. Though the band is able to rotate 60 to 70 songs, Diamond says, we never became a wedding band because we don't like that kind of music. Just like the radio station, we take requests, but we don't play them. We go over new songs once a week for 2 to 3 hours. Once you have 3 sets and add a fourth, you just add a few more songs. The more you play out, the less time you practice. Since Lisa and I are 2/3 of the trio, practicing is as easy as going downstairs and playing for a while.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb since I've been doing this. I'm going to say that 60-song thing that he's putting in there is BS also. I think it's a lie. I don't think he does. I don't think they have 60 songs in their repertoire.
It's a lot easier when you're living with one of the band members.
Oh, yeah, super.
These days, the group plays about once a week. My rule is that it has to be on a weekend or a major summer concert, says the morning talent.
What? Wait. So he won't play now unless it's like a big event?
My rule is it has to be on a weekend or for a major summer concert, says the morning talent, who is also open for Paul Simon and Bob Dylan.
He's lying.
Yeah, I like some documentation on that.
Come on.
Jesus Christ.
What a liar.
Jesus Christ. Let me see. Hold on a second. But that isn't Diamond's biggest jewel. That distinction came last December when he and Lisa entertained with John Bon Jovi and Stevie Wonder at a party following Al Gore's concession speech. It was a tremendous thrill.
So embarrassed.
It was a tremendous thrill for Lisa and me to sing Twist and Shout answer vocals with John Bon Jovi. Okay, you know what that means?
That means he was probably one of about 50 people.
As he was, I'll make you wanna, and everybody else,
right.
Shout! Come on, say it now, shout!
Exactly.
Say it now,
Yeah, probably about 1 million people up on stage.
When the opportunity presents itself, you go for it. The crowd erupted when the vice president entered the room. As Diamond recalls, just minutes earlier, the man had conceded the presidency of the United States. I was stunned when the first public words out of his mouth were, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Jack Diamond.
Oh, God, no. He is such a liar. He is complete.
Doesn't this make you want to quit your band?
Not in a million years.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you don't want me to quit either, do you?
Oh, no.
No.
Hey, how you doing?
How would you have any material?
Hey,
to make fun of me for 10 years doing that. We're having too much fun.
It's an honest to God band. It's called The Jack Diamond.
Yeah, we got an honest to goodness band, too. It's called Crap.
We do justice to Matchbox 20, Third Eye Blind, Vertical Horizon.
We barely limp through two songs that we've got in our chart.
We've played in front of 40,000 people.
Played in my basement.
We've opened for people like Elton John of the Moody Blues.
Last night we performed in front of Mary O'Mara, 81 years old. We all said, hi, Mom.
We are able to rotate 60 to 70 songs.
We are desperately trying to get 14 on our playlist.
Although we got a girl who says she works at a place where Jack Diamond's band
good.
Plays.
I'd like to, you know, because you know one of the things really, though, that doing this, I am having fun doing this, and it is the most fun I've had. I think it's my midlife crisis. But the one thing, why lie? Because if you're going to go out and you're going to be in public,
well, because
if you lie, I mean, it's crap.
He wants to make himself, the other guys in this article, I know one of the guys, Ryan Seacrest, is the guy who works at Star FM in Los Angeles.
Right.
He's a guy who really does on-camera stuff for NBC.
Right.
And the other guy that they talk to is a guy from Chicago who's the public address announcer mm-hmm. at Comiskey Park for the White Sox.
Right.
So they both do have interesting
sure.
outside jobs.
Right.
I'm sure they said that to Harvey when they called him for the interview. They said, hey, we got the guy who's on NBC, and we got the guy who does the public address at the White Sox games, and, you know, suddenly he can't just say that he's playing at Applebee's. He's got to make up the fact that he's played in front of 40,000 people.
You know, anybody that's ever played a musical instrument, you want to feel like that, and you want, you know, you pretend it's like an ultimate fantasy, but it's absolutely not true. And if you don't have it in perspective, all you do is subject yourself to embarrassment. And you know something? If you go out there, which Crap will be touring this summer, if you go out in public, you embarrass yourself anyway.
If you know
that you're going to embarrass yourself, just say it going in, because then it won't be as bad.
I like the documentation. I'd like to see the ticket that says Paul Simon, opening act, Jack Diamond. Bob Dylan, opening act, Jack Diamond.
I will go on record here and say that no matter how much Crap practices, you know, usually once a week, we will not be opening for any major act this summer.
Hey, but next year, Rob?
Yes.
Next year we're ready for the stadiums.
Next year it'll be Mike in this article.
That's right, talking about, you know,
let me tell you right now, we have opened for 40,000 people.
Hey, Carrie? Carrie, hi, you worked in a place where Jack Diamond's band was?
I did. I used to work at a small local restaurant in Gaithersburg, and I can remember working there, and I just think it's funny that if he opened up for those big-name bands, why he would be coming, you know, to a small restaurant in Gaithersburg. And I remember the hype was, you know, we worked there, and we were like, there's going to be so many people there coming in. And I can remember as soon as the show started, no one ever showed up.
What was the name of the place you worked at?
It was O'Donnell's Restaurant in the Kentlands in Gaithersburg.
Oh, in the Kentlands in Gaithersburg. And how many people does that place hold?
Well, they have an outside balcony set up in the spring and summertime for bands to come and play. It can probably maybe hold like 50 people seating on the outside, but I don't even think the place was full.
50 people.
50 people.
Listen, let me tell you something. You add enough of those 50 people up, and it will equal 40,000.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the call.
No problem.
Bye-bye. You know, my goal for Crap is not to perform in front of 40,000 people. My goal for Crap is to someday perform in front of people and have them leave saying, you know, we almost recognize that song.
Hello. Hello, this is Jennifer. Oops, we lost her. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it Don?
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Hey, my name is Bob, and I just wanted to give you some insight on Jack Diamond and the band.
I think we've got the insight that the guy is a lying MF-er.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely correct. But I tell you, it goes a little further than that. You know, they do unplug his guitar once in a while.
That's funny.
Well, they do. And the band kind of has a little nickname for when him and Bert were together.
Yeah.
They were called Jack Neoff and Squirt.
Very good.
Thank you, my
friend. I like that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, whenever, back in September, the band that I'm with
played on that same stage that Jack Diamond did, that's to the left of the Meriwether Post Pavilion.
You mean out by
we were there before Def Leppard played.
Out by the
there was no way that there was over 40,000 people there. And Def Leppard was a lot bigger band than the Moody Blues.
Hold on. So you were playing out by where? Out by the beer tents?
Yeah, where the beer tent is. It's called the Levi's stage.
You're like what you are is the local entertainment for people milling around before the opening act, if there is an opening act.
Before the opening act, before the main act.
You're giving him too much credit. I've seen stages like this, and they have one at the Nissan Pavilion. This was not a stage. This was a platform.
Right.
You could go around back of this platform.
Yeah, it's like a little kiosk thing without the top on.
Yeah,
right?
Not even sides or a roof, just a platform.
Let me ask you, in your band, would you ever brag that you opened for Def Leppard?
Well, I got to admit that we put it down on our website as we did open for Def Leppard, but in actuality, no, we didn't, because we actually caught the flow of people that were coming in from the side gate, and they were actually stopping to watch us before the main band, before the opening band for Def Leppard.
But you weren't really on the real stage, though, right?
Oh, hell no, hell no.
All right, thank you, my friend.
But he's closer to being an opening act because he had a real stage.
Hello.
Not a box.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah, I was actually at that Dylan Simon show, and it was the same deal where he's playing over at the beer tent, and actually one dude walked by and, like, threw a buck up on stage, like, you know.
Which concert was this at?
The Paul Simon Bob Dylan concert that he said he opened for.
Oh, so it's both of them together?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Paul Simon and Bob Dylan.
I saw in the article Bob Dylan opened for
Paul Simon.
If you read the article, it says the Morning Talent, who recently opened for Paul Simon and Bob Dylan.
Oh, God.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is so totally jive.
Bye-bye.
That's so Harvey. It is. It's all Harvey. And, I mean, Harvey doing what Harvey's done for a million years.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot. Listen, we recently opened for the Moody Blues. Did you see us on the box? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You might have seen me, Paul Simon, Bob Dylan. Did you happen to leave the arena to go outside to perhaps relieve yourself?
Yeah, out by the porta potties. I was out on a stage out there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Technically, if you count all the people who have been to all of the concerts that I've supposedly opened for, I've played for 40,000 people.
Thank you. Yeah, think about it.
All right.
Really. Because if you add up, like, the people who went to Paul Simon and Bob Dylan, and the people who went to the Moody Blues, or the people who went to Elton John,
mm-hmm.
maybe together you'd have 40,000.
Well, I'll tell you this. I am not going to let Jack Diamond prevent me from pursuing this masturbation session that I call crap.
Good for you, Mike.
I am. You know, I know you're reading that. I know you're reading that. You might have designs on trying to dissuade me from pursuing crap.
I'm looking at this.
I am going to pursue crap until crap becomes a national recording artist.
All I see is a year from now, the same article, just scratch out the name Jack Diamond and write Mike O'Meara.
Let me tell you something, my friend. If you see that, then your vision is cloudy. Because there will never be an article like that about moi. Not on your life. And I commit to you that when crap goes public, we will definitely be an embarrassment to this show.
Yeah.
There's the definition.
I'll never see that.
Thank you, because I have gray in my beard, too. Thank you very much.
I just fixed the picture.
We actually, I have to say this, since you brought this up.
Yeah.
Crap has had offers. Crap has had offers, and we are going to be playing in the bars by the end of the summer. We will. I don't give a rat's ass if you mock it, either, because I'm having the best fun of my life.
You know what?
I'm having a fantastic time.
You have spent as much time as me mocking Jack Diamond.
But here's the difference.
And every other disc jockey with a band.
Here's the difference. The reason I say that we're crap is because we are. I'm not pretending that I'm something that I'm not. We're going out. Is it J&O? Yes, it is J&O. We're having fun. But I'm not going to let Harvey Joel Fisher ruin my goddamn fun. And I'm not going to let you do it either. There we go. All right.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. I won't ruin your fun.
Okay. Thank you.
Go on out. Be a rock star.
I'm not. You know what? We're not going to be rock stars. But we're going out and we're having a blast. It's the most fun I've ever had in my life. I swear to God, it is so much fun. We know how bad we are, and we're having a good time. That's all that matters.
Okay.
And they will never unplug my drums.
Thank you.
Because they can't.
You can't. That's right, they can't.
Let's go to Buzz now.
Yeah. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Verboten.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
Me. He made it up.
Hey, is the lead story tonight the fact that the Jack Diamond is not a novelty band?
No, that's old news. Everyone knows that.
That they can do justice to Matchbox 20, Third Eye Blind, and Vertical Horizon?
Well, and that's just a lie.
Okay, what is your lead story tonight, Buzz?
Tonight, the producer of TV's Cops gets arrested.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
Coming up.
The Don and Mike
Don,
show.
Should he have his shirt off?
Yes, he did.
That was very
professional. Thank you.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Let them pop a couple of hot balls in ye. Don and Mike.
Time for news and comment now with Buzz, brought to you by eGars.com. Visit eGars.com. Great deals on Cohiba 5-packs. 5 super premium cigars and a free cigar cutter for as little as $24.95. Order online or call 877-81. eGars. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, the producer of the TV show Cops has had a run-in with the law. Murray Jordan was arrested on drunken driving charges in Atlanta last night.
Oh, Murray.
He was there to meet with the police to set up the filming of an episode of that show in Atlanta. The police say Jordan was stopped after he made an illegal left turn. They say he told officers he'd had 4 glasses of wine with dinner.
Get your hands off me. You think they taped it for the show?
No, I don't think he had his camera with him at the time.
That's funny.
A police spokesman says plans for the upcoming episode in Atlanta have not necessarily been scuttled by Jordan's arrest. The executive producer of Cops says that if Jordan made a mistake, he's going to have to be subject to the same laws all of us are, whether he's associated with the show or not.
If Cops is coming to Atlanta, someone better warn Rudy. That's all I'm saying.
Buzz, hold on a second. I got a newsmaker on the phone. Let me see if it's really a newsmaker. Hello?
Hey.
Are you really calling from Tokyo?
I am.
Wow.
I listened to your, you mentioned before you went on break that you and there was someone downloading your show on Napster, and
you know what?
That's what I have to do. I'm from the D.C. area, so I used to listen to you guys all the time when I was back home, but now I live in Tokyo, so I'm reduced to this.
I love this, though. My brother told me a couple of weeks ago, and he lives in an area where he can't hear our show,
right?
That he has gone to Napster.
He lives in an area where they don't have running water.
And there's somebody out there, God bless him, I wish I knew the guy who's doing this, who is downloading the show every day,
right,
and putting it on Napster. And I mentioned it, and I got a call from someone at CBS. They were upset that I was promoting this,
mm-hmm.
and I was happy about it, and I said, I am happy. I want our show to be on the Internet.
Right, we want to be heard all around the world.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a great way, it's a great way around the stupid CBS rule that will not let us be on the Internet, that if you go to Napster, I don't know how long it takes to download.
Sure.
How long does it take to download one of our shows?
About 3 hours.
All right, so obviously you got to invest some time. But if you've got the time to turn your computer on and download, there's some guy out there, bless his heart, whoever the schmuck is, who's taking the time to record our show and then download it on Napster. But that's the greatest, that is the greatest thing that I've heard in a long time.
Sure.
That's fantastic.
The only way I get to listen to you guys.
And then how are things in Tokyo?
Not bad, a little cold, but pretty good otherwise.
Come in, Tokyo. All right, that's a private joke. Thank you. Domo. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
And there we go.
He's gone.
Hey, we can get hung up on even that far overseas.
Right.
Well, China says we will get our spy plane crew back soon.
You will get our spy plane back soon.
The U.S.?
Oh, you will get them back. We feel right giving them back to you.
We will steal all the technology on your plane. Then we will give the plane back to you, a shell of its former self.
We love the etch-a-sketch you have.
We will hang a banner around your neck, and we will execute you.
You must tell us, oh, the technology of the etch-a-sketch, when you shake it, all of the rhymes, they disappear.
That is what we call magic here in China. We will not give you back your plane or your bed.
We are also very interested with invisible dog. It seems to be a carer that you can walk down a boardwalk with, and it looks like you are walking an actual invisible dog.
And we are still trying to steal the technology for the Super Bowl. I've had it bounce so high. We would like to see it bounce high in China.
The U.S. is demanding the crew members' immediate release. President Bush had a news conference this afternoon and stepped up the rhetoric a little bit, saying that the U.S. is trying to avoid an international incident over this.
We're concerned about AIDS inside our White House.
Please to explain this silly putty.
China's demanding...
I swear to God I was just going to say that. You put it on the newspaper, on the funny papers, mm-hmm. and a transfer onto the Siri putty.
Please to explain... Please to explain rubber dog feces. It appears to be a real feces of a dog, but it is fake. Very funny. In China. China
is demanding an apology for the collision that brought one of our planes down on one of their islands. The U.S. is refusing to apologize. China says the crash was our fault. We say it was theirs. The plane is as big as a 737 and carried 22 Navy personnel along with one Marine and one member of the Air Force.
We are absolutely amazed by spirograph.
I can't believe that.
What is the spirograph we are finding on this airplane?
That's weird. That is truly weird that we have both thought of the same things at the same time.
Hey, Rob just gave me a good one.
Yes.
What is an easy bake oven? Make good General Chow chicken. Easy bake oven. Tell us the secret of this, Americans.
It is a full-size oven in the shape of a toy from China.
Who is Marabou Barbie? All of these American spy secrets.
These are fantastic toys. We wish to have their secrets in China.
Buzz, hold on, please. Hold on.
Right. Then we will go to see your auntie, okay?
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know whether to laugh or vomit.
7.5 inches long and about 3 inches in girth. The Don and Mike Show.
What's this? You hold on. You live in Las Vegas.
Yes?
You can tell them that we're coming back.
All right. Starting next Monday, we're going to be heard every day from noon to four.
We have a lot of fans out there.
On KSFM.
That'll be our brand new Las Vegas station.
And we have other big affiliate news coming up, but I've been sworn to secrecy. Now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Wall Street didn't like the news about China. Wall Street doesn't like much of anything these days and is always looking for an excuse. The Dow today, down nearly 400 points at one point, closed down today just under 300 points at 292. The Nasdaq was down 110.
So what was the final number?
I never get that. I forgot.
What was it, like 95, 94?
That would be like it. It's still under 10,000.
Was it under 9?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Buzz.
I'll look it up. I know this is generally what most people care about.
How many times has he asked you that?
Well, two or three times now.
Yes,
got it now.
Yes, two or three times.
All right, I will check.
What is the number?
We
need the number. Is there any way you can get it on your computer right now?
I'm waiting for the browser to load now.
Okay.
In the meantime, can we move on?
Do we have browser loading music? Hello, John and Mike Show. Hello? Is this Alan Greenspan? Somebody calling might have the number. Hello, John and Mike.
Hello. I was wondering if it sounded like on in Boston.
Yeah, if you consider Worcester to be Boston, yes.
What?
If you consider Worcester, Mass. To be Boston, yes, we are.
Okay. Do you know what station?
Sorry, can't help you there, honey.
Oh,
whatever the worst station in Worcester is. Is this a woman?
What?
Is this a woman or a young man? Oh. I'm sorry.
They're gone. 9,485. 0.71.
Thank you, Buzz.
There's your answer.
Appreciate that.
What was the NASDAQ number?
The NASDAQ was 1,673 on the button.
What about the S&P?
I don't have that in front of me.
Oh, okay.
That's going to take even longer.
You know what? I don't even know what S&P stands for. So don't worry about it.
Standard and Poor.
Okay.
Americans.
S&P. S and poop. S-H-I and poop.
Absolutely. Americans understand the air rage. The guy accused of breaking an airline ticket agent's neck.
Fucking bull.
That was on The Sopranos the other night. There was a lot of that.
It was.
The guy accused of breaking an airline ticket agent's neck,
stinking poo,
has been found innocent. A jury in New Jersey brought about the aggravation. thought about the aggravated assault case for 3.5 hours over 2 days and then set John Davis free.
That means we can rough them all up now, right?
Apparently so. The trial lasted a couple of weeks over an incident that began with an airline delay in a crowded terminal. The ticket agent spent 5 days in a coma after being slammed into the floor head first.
I just said I'd like a window seat. But I've read about this trial, and what was specified was that while the customer was a jerk, the airline guy behind the counter reached over and grabbed the guy's wife. And that's when the customer said, hey, listen, pal, no, you know, no, don't touch my wife. Nobody touches my wife. And that's when the two of them started fighting.
I also heard that one of the gate agents said, it's not fair.
No fair.
No fair. I'm sorry.
It's no fair.
I should have read the documents before.
I think the word was not, but it turned out to be no.
No fair?
No fair.
John Davis says the agent attacked him first. The agent says...
John Davidson?
Not John Davis. He's the passenger's name.
Get me Jim J. Bullock!
The agent, after being dropped on his head, says he doesn't remember what happened. The annual airline service ratings are out. Delta came in first. America West came in 10th. United certainly has nothing to brag about, even though it's up to 9th place after being 10th last year. After Delta, at the top of the list, comes Alaska Airlines, followed by Southwest, U.S. Airways, Northwest, American, and Continental.
That sound effect makes me stop in my tracks.
Having a party.
You know, even though United may, some people might have had bad experiences, we fly them all the time. I think they're A-OK. I really do. I think they get a bum rap.
Well, TWA is in 8th place, followed by United.
Wait a minute. TWA is in front of United.
Yes, they are.
Now, we've all had those experiences, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
That's a shared experience.
Absolutely. And then America West. The rankings are based on how often the airline's planes are on time.
Incidentally, is that for the Delta people celebrating being number one?
That's a big party.
They're very happy. It's based on on-time performance, how often they lose luggage, and how many complaints they get overall. But for all the airlines, complaints are up 20% last year. They lost more luggage than the year before, and their schedules became less dependable.
Hold on, Buzz.
All right.
Goddamn. I think that's for you, Buzz. They're happy that you gave us the stock number. Stock
of
market
number. They are.
All right. Let's hear it for Buzz. Come on. All right.
I love you, Buzz.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
I'm going steady, and I French kiss. So everybody does that. Yeah, but Daddy says I'm the best at it.
The Radio Zeus's with the Juices. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
A lawyer's been convicted of trying to extort over $300,000 from Erin Brockovich and her boss, Ed Masry.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
You told him not to do that.
Don Ephraim.
John Reiner's been found guilty of 2 counts of attempted extortion and a count of conspiracy to commit extortion. For that, he could get 4 years in prison. Masry, who's also a lawyer, and his assistant, Brockovich, won $333 million from Pacific Gas and Electric for the 650 people of Hinckley, California, after PG&E apparently contaminated the local water supply with a cancer-causing chemical. That was the subject of the movie for which Julia Roberts won an Oscar last week.
Did I just read that the real Erin Brockovich's husband is suing her? Because in the movie they allege that he didn't make child support payments, but in real life the guy says he really did.
Yeah, and he's the same guy, isn't he, that tried to extort? And he's involved in it, apparently, and this lawyer that I'm talking about here is the lawyer who represented the husband who was suing Erin Brockovich.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Right, Donald Ephraim.
Donald Ephraim.
Now, this John Reiner tried to get money, apparently, by threatening to tell the media that she was a bad mother and that she'd had an affair with her boss.
Isn't that what Burt Reynolds used to say?
Yes.
She's a bad mother.
Exactly.
She misses us.
Well, you didn't get to see or hear the whole joke when a homeless woman had a newspaper in her behind on the last episode of The Sopranos.
I love that one.
It was plenty funny as it was.
Yeah. Producer David Chase was steamed at New York Daily News columnist Mitchell Fink for giving away some of the show's plot twists in the current season. On Sunday's show, the homeless woman was using the Daily News as toilet paper. The scene originally included a picture of Mr. Fink and a comment by Meadow Soprano. The scene did appear in the preview copies that were sent to TV critics, but was gone
by the time the show aired this week.
Hey, don't do that, HBO. Cut that out. You're the ones that don't do that.
I think David Chase did it, not HBO.
Oh,
I think
really?
He just thought better of it or for some reason decided to take it out.
What a great way to say F you to the guy from the Daily News.
Well, the columnist really didn't give that much away, and the columnist came back and did some favorable stuff about The Sopranos later, so I think David Chase softened
up. I hate it when people get along.
Never trust the newspaper, guys. Never trust those guys.
Yeah,
never.
And that's, you know, so, we know a lot of them that belong in that between that lady's pillows.
We sure do.
Wacky DJ stunt update. While we were on vacation, so was Bubba the Love Sponge at Tampa radio station WXTV.
Is this the guy who killed a hog?
He's the guy, real name Todd Phlegm, who allowed the killing of a live wild boar on his show back in February.
Todd Phlegm.
His vacation included a trip to jail, and he could be facing 5 years in prison on animal cruelty charges.
Hey, I got something for you, man. Now, listen to this right now. This is Bubba the Love Sponge. I want to tell you something. Now, if you watched Survivor the other night, you saw them kill a pig. I'm going to kill a wild boar right here in the studios, right here outside my Tampa Bay studio. Yeah, get this!
More than 30 of his morning show advertisers have canceled their contracts to run spots on his show. The worldly possessions of the late Derek Thomas were carried away yesterday by fans, memorabilia collectors, and a few strange individuals.
Money fans.
The late Kansas City Chiefs linebacker died last year from injuries he'd gotten in a car wreck. And yesterday in Independence, Missouri, there was kind of a clearance sale. They bought autographed footballs and helmets. He was a collector of posters and pictures. They even bought his clothing, sweatpants, and his blue jeans, even his pool sandals.
Hey, how much those go for?
I don't have the price on that, but stick with me. They bought his four-poster bed, his alligator shoes, and his snakeskin belt. One guy paid $75 for his bedpan with Thomas's name on the side. Quoting the man, it was kind of a gag. I thought it was humorous.
What's wrong with being
there? I don't know, but I'm going to love that bedpan. That's a great souvenir.
Congratulations, Doc.
You were laughing all the way home.
Sure.
I could never figure you out.
There are the toe-dabbing touchstones.
If it leaks, put on those pool shoes.
Time for a call 100 and a prize package we've selected especially for you. Phone number 877-365-3636.
Number one, Arbitron Lake, the Don and Mike Show.
This is TV's Leah Remini. Jack Diamond is a horse's ass.
Hi, this is pro wrestler Mankind.
Jack Diamond
is a
horse's ass.
Thank you.
Like to kiss Puzzy, Don and Mike.
Puzzy
was a bear.
Hi, Buzzy.
Hi, Don and Mike.
In sports, Buzzy likes Buzzy.
Oh, Buzzy likes Buzzy big time.
Free agent linebacker Jamie Sharper has signed a 5-year, $22 million contract that keeps him with the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens. Sharper spoke with several other teams before deciding to stick with the club that drafted him in 97.
All right.
Might as well let him play out the season before sending him to jail. Prosecutors agree with lawyers for the NBA's Rod Strickland on that. The former Washington Wizards pleaded guilty to the DWI charge he's been facing since January when he was stopped on D.C.'s George Washington Parkway.
Does anybody else in the working world get that kind of a break?
I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm. Rob does?
Okay, all right. Constantly. Uh-huh. Besides the 10 days in jail, he faces 2 years probation and has to get substance abuse counseling. But since he now plays for Portland, lawyers on both sides have asked that the jail time be delayed until after the Trailblazers season has ended.
Well, you know, they got a good chance to go all the way to the finals.
Absolutely.
I can't stand in the way of that. It's almost not news anymore when former Yankee Daryl Strawberry gets arrested, but this time he did it during the filming of a documentary on his drug problems. He was busted again yesterday after checking himself into a hospital in Tampa. He'd gone missing for about 4 days. He now says he was on a cocaine binge at the time. Police went after him for skipping his court-ordered drug rehab program. The HBO cameraman who got Daryl's comments after the arrest says the former slugger hopes that everyone can understand how awful it is to be a drug addict.
Wow.
The Washington Redskins say
they're good for HBO, though.
Yeah, oh, great for them.
Did they ever figure out where this kidnapping stuff came from? I mean, where he was, you read about that.
Yeah, right. And no, he was not kidnapped. He needed drugs.
Did he call the kidnapping thing? Is that what he did?
I don't know how that got started.
See, I'm wondering whether like the call was like Daryl going, "Hello, Mrs. Cleaver, we need $50,000, or we're going to kill Daryl Strawberry in Orlando." It's working great, dude. Because that's what I thought as soon as I read that.
He says he was depressed over his colon cancer treatments, and he just decided, I need drugs.
Hello? This is not Daryl Strawberry. This is the man who has Daryl Strawberry. I sound very much like Stedman Graham, Oprah's boyfriend.
We'll send a check for $50,000 right along.
Only cash, please.
Absolutely, class. Cash and small bills.
Daryl's very upset here at Walt Disney World in Orlando, where we have him kidnapped.
Mr. Strawberry, you're under arrest.
Small bills rolled up into tubes. The Washington Redskins say they're willing to trade their first-round draft pick to try to get more picks later in the draft. And finally...
Shrewd. Shrewd, Marty.
Finally, now, when you say a story like the Washington Redskins say, right, would that be Schottenheimer?
Yeah.
All right.
Shrewd he is.
But you might want to keep a towel on the next time you're in a sauna. You never know who has the camera and where they may have it hidden. In Germany, a man has been banned from his local sauna because he'd been taking videos of his fellow sweat hogs. The 37-year-old Frankfurt man had a tiny video camera and a transmitter inside a shower gel bottle he carried with him everywhere.
Here's the man.
What a horrible thing to say.
This is Colonel Point.
The signal went to a receiver and a video recorder inside his gym bag just outside the sauna.
Elaborate.
Police say he told them he was using the videos for artistic purposes.
Bob Crane enjoyed the Hollywood nightlife and soon found new ways to blend his Playboy lifestyle with his passion for cameras. The star began to videotape
men in gyms.
As co-star Werner Klemperer recalls,
I don't know whether you would call them pornographic, but they were erotic films of
men's balls
that he enjoyed filming.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Tomorrow on the show, Chuck Stossel. Getting a face full of pie.
And giving you $100.
Also tomorrow, Barry Williams in studio
from the town of New Bank.
Super. Las Vegas style shows are coming your way in Sacramento on Friday, April 27th in Reno. We'll see you on Saturday, April 28th for a makeup show.
Fantastic.
Be in New York on Thursday and Friday of this week from WNEW. Hello, Don, my show.
Yes. Am I 100?
No, I'm sorry you're not, honey. Thank you for the call, though.
Okay.
You sound much younger than that.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Don, you got to be assertive. Hello, Don, my show.
Yes. Caller 100?
No, I'm sorry you're not.
Thank you.
We've been gone a while, Don.
Yeah, we have been. We're going to be here for 3 more months, though, Mike. No vacation for 3 months.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, my brothers. Welcome back. I am the 100th caller.
There! Yay!
Yes.
Right. Hi. What's your name, my friend?
You guys rage. My name's Arnie.
Arnie, where are you from?
I'm in Rochester, New York.
Arnie, you won the Sopranos prize pack.
Oh, I love you.
Don't miss the Sopranos. It's Sunday night at 9 p.m. Enjoy it as Ralphie does, with a Fresca and a Pop-Tart. Served by his pregnant whore girlfriend right before he takes her out back and kills her.
Yes, a fascinating show.
Only on HBO. Soundtrack now in stores. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
On WHTK in Rochester. That's it. We'll be back tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie.
Welcome back.
Throw that German officer's hat in the air, just like Sydney. Tyler Moore. You might just make it after all. Oh,
tastes like poison lobster.
We will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number 1, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.